go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It is a beautiful day here in what is left of wild, wonderful West, by God, almost level West Virginia. Agnes about had to get out the bullwhip and whoop me in from outside. It's sunny and hot, but Lord, what a pretty, pretty day. Had a nice afternoon as well. Met with Dr. Bill and Boss Man Wayne for lunch today. And had a nice conversation. Bill and I said, looking toward scheduling and setting up the follow-up PRISM, PRISM West Virginia chats, which will be available to all and sundry beginning in September. We'll have one in September, two each in October, November, one in December, then two each. You see how it works. So that's good news. And apart from the no air conditioning in the rusty red pickup truck part, which makes any drive in the rusty red pickup truck a sort of a Dante-esque exercise, oh, it was something special. So, you know, that's one of the things that can kind of get hold of you. And that is when it's, I mean, it really is valuable to get out and get away from the crazy. Because crazy is apparently the order of the day. I don't know. Have you been following? Of course you have. You can't not follow it unless you do something like me and go somewhere and completely divest yourself of all media. You've got to know by now. Oh, by the way, before we go any further, if you were to pop into the chat room, you would see that the chat room is back to being the horn chat room that everyone knew and loved with full functionality. And so, first of all, I say thank you to all of you, especially, Jan in Vegas contributed, because she contributed specifically to making sure that the chat room got back up and running. But to all of you who have contributed to making sure that the horn keeps going, that was a heroic effort in the last few days, and it is much, much appreciated. Thank you very much. And second, and thank you to John Fox for taking care of the bill-paying part of it and making sure that it all got done. See, Jan? Everybody's thanking you in the chat room. And we thank you as well. The chat room's there, and it's free for you to use as you wish. Just log in, sign in, pop in. Great conversations going on, pretty much full tilt all the time. But thanks go to all of you who, because things got mighty lean over the course of the last couple of months. Because I can't. It's nobody's fault but my own. When I'm away from the microphone, the horn contributions largely dwindle. Except that, well, it's not fair to say dwindle. Well, they decrease. But thank you. all and sundry, very, very much. And I will go so far as to note that we are not. We've made it to a place where we're only about $800 from meeting July's fundraising goal. And that is an awesome thing to be able to say under the circumstances. Only about 800, that's 80 people. And we got a lot more than 80 listeners. About 80 people doing $10 a piece, and we'll be done with fundraising for July with 3 days to spare. Now, granted, it gets no show on Saturday, but you get the idea. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com, as is the snail mail address. By the way, welcome to... it's good to see Zetoichi back in the chat room. I assume... well, brutally hot everywhere. Hopefully Zetoichi is somewhere where he's in out of the brutal Vegas heat. Now, as I said, it's kind of hard to... hard to escape because it's the only thing anyone is talking about. But in point of fact, the only thing anyone is talking about is whether or not, you know, there's going to be something done about the debt ceiling. And so it is this massive kabuki exercise that is simply demanding, commanding, and owning everyone's attention. And among other things, out of this whole process, one stunning little fact, well, fact one is that John Boehner is an absolutely impotent Speaker of the House. He is, for all intents and purposes, Speaker of the House in name only. And this whole kabuki process is proving it lock, stock, and barrel. Right now, he does not have the votes to get whatever kind of a bill gets cobbled together. And this is a short-term extension of the debt ceiling. He can't even cobble together the votes to get that. Right now, he is short something on the order of 26 Republican votes. If he can't get any Democratic votes, he can't pass a bill. And he's down 25, 26, the number keeps fluctuating. One of those that he is down is a Republican from his own state of Ohio, the Republican Study Committee Chairman Jim Jordan. And Jim Jordan is being absolutely teabaggy about all of this. Hell no, I don't vote for it. I'm a teabagger. Us teabagging Republicans, we're worried about the debt. Right? Sure. We can't be having no more debt. Even though he he understands the debt about as much as I understand the particle physics. That is to say, not much at all. And you know the story's true because, of course, Boehner's office is denying it. But it may very well be that Jim Jordan may lose his seat in the November elections, not to another challenger, but because the drunken madman, the drunken impotent madman, the Orange Crush, the Agent Orange, whatever you want to call him, the guy with those things on his face that needs to take a quarter downtown to get a rat to know I'm off, John Boehner, can't get control of his own caucus. And because Jim Jordan is openly defying him, Boehner may go ahead and just eliminate his seat altogether. I thought the only one I was going to have to screw over was that damn Dennis Kucinich. Well, you can go too, Jim Jordan, buddy. You can go too. You can stand out in your yard and holler about how you wouldn't vote for it. How do we know that it's a true story? Because the National Review contacted the Boner's office, and the following quote came back. Jim Jordan and I may not always agree on strategy, but we are friends and allies, and the word retribution is not in my vocabulary. I look forward to continuing to serve with him in the U.S. House after the redistricting process in Ohio is complete and for many years to come. Yeah, and Jim, stay off small aircraft. Don't eat anything you haven't prepared yourself. And don't walk under any ladders. The word retribution is not in my vocabulary. We're not concerned with your vocabulary, Mr. Boner. Just because it isn't in my vocabulary doesn't mean that I can't do it. Probably the funniest thing out of it all, though, is the conniption by that that life support system for a haircut, Sean Hannity job. This is a beautiful thing.
That's piece today in Ohio. Now Congressman Jim Jordan and his disagreement with the speaker when he said that this wasn't going to pass, that they didn't have the votes for it, because he disagrees he was supporting cut, cap, and balance. They're saying now it may cost him his safe seat in next year's election. Quote, two Republican sources deeply involved in configuring new Ohio congressional districts confirmed to the Dispatch today that Jordan's disloyalty to Boehner has put him in jeopardy of being zeroed out of a district. Quote, Jim Jordan's boneheadedness has kind of informed everybody's thinking, according to one source, both of whom spoke on the condition of anonymity. The easiest option for everyone has presented itself. Now, Jordan has an 11-county district, a rural district, 60% Republican voter index. Quote, it's easy to cannibalize because it stretches so far, says other sources. Oh, so Jim Jordan's going to be paid back. It's disgraceful. And as far as the Tea Party attacks are concerned, do people not realize in Congress that without the Tea Party, they don't exist there? They owe their existence to the Tea Party. So frustrating.
Do you hear that professional broadcast voice? That, my friends, is Sean Hannity job. That is a voice that was made for print.
Jeebus. I'd run off the road into a power pole or something if I had to listen to that every day. That's just awful.
Did you hear that? He's terrible. He's just awful.
Now, these fiscal conservatives, these right-wing Repiglicans, teabaggers, what have you, Minutemen, militia, Klansmen, you know the lot, the usual suspects. They're supposed to be smart about money. But they give millions of dollars to people who don't even belong behind microphones. Did you hear that nasally whine? Boo! That'd make a freight train take a dirt road. Horrible. So that's where the Boner finds himself. In a pickle. They had scheduled the vote for today. Now the vote isn't scheduled for today because the ass beating would have been so embarrassing they probably wouldn't have been able to pull Boner out of the bottle for a month and a half. He would have gone on a bender. Well, bring me the Merlot. They don't understand me. They don't understand how I love America. And every time I think about the little tavern when I was raised, let's do it. Oh, they don't love me anymore. They won't do what they tell them. I didn't sign on to go mano a mano with the President of the United States. reschedule the vote. That's what we'll do. And then I'll turn on my powers of persuasion. And I'll convince them to vote for my plan. Because we're going to beat that Negro in 2012. They don't understand. I've got a plan. I told them I got a plan. They won't listen to me because of my plan I got. They got to have my plan, but they won't listen. Where's my Merlot? I could have sworn I had a Merlot. Sir, you drank it. Well, damn it, you probably stole my Merlot. That's why you're all traitors. Merlot drinking, Merlot stealing traitors. I know I didn't drink that Merlot because I'm not even drunk. Take 6-7 bottles of Merlot for me to get a face on. I'm not drunk! You want to fight? Because I'll fight you. I grew up in a tavern, and I know how to fight. Because I'm American, and I pull myself up by my own bootstraps, American. I never had any help from that socialist government. That's what I thought. No, sir, we're getting back. We're backing away from you because we just had word from the Environmental Protection Agency that your breath is a toxic substance. It's a hazardous material. No loyalty! So that's how it is it? That's how it's going to be? That's it? Yeah, I knew you were traitors. But I fooled you. I caught you with the strawberries. They thought I was crazy. Yeah, they say that he walks around with two golf balls in his hands, John Boehner, and he just kind of rolls them over and over. Yeah, they thought I was crazy, but I fooled him. I caught him with the strawberries. Jesus. Have you ever gone somewhere and by hook or by crook, you found out the person you were riding with was loaded? You weren't, and the driver was? Hey, why don't you pull over? Why don't you let me drive for a little bit? I'll drive.
I'm doing just fine. You got a problem with my driving?
That's America. That's us. We are in the back seat. And John Boehner, of all people, is the drunk behind the wheel. No, really. And sitting up there in the front seat where Mother sits in shotgun is the President of the United States, dead sober.
John, I think you're doing a marvelous job driving. Now all you have to do is stay in this lane.
Oh, which lane is that, Barry? Because I see two of these lanes.
Well, just pick one and stay in it, would you, John? No, you're doing a great job driving, John. Meanwhile, you're in the back seat, trying to take your sister's seatbelt, too.
Getting a little nauseated from the weaving back and forth in and out of the lanes.
That guy almost ran over us. I think he's drunk.
Scared to death. And when you get to your destination, you're inclined to get out of the car and kiss the earth. And you swear you will never get in the car with that drunken bastard again. Well, here's the problem with this metaphor. America's destination is hundreds of miles out. and John insists on continuing to drive.
Yeah, I think we might go through one of those drive-through slushy stores. I like the mango slushies with the extra shot. There's nothing wrong with me.
In Washington, the tendency has been to use the metaphor of driving America off a cliff. Everybody wants to talk about that cliff. I guess because that makes America Wile E. Coyote, right? Well, I reject that analogy. Because we don't... Well, maybe... Yeah, then again, the House Repiglican Caucus, the House Repiglican Majority, may be America's very own set of Acme rocket skates. Because I was going to say I favor this drunk driver analogy because the people in the back seat are seldom responsible for getting the guy behind the wheel the way the guy behind the wheel is. But America is responsible for that, isn't it? That district in Ohio that elects Jim Jordan? That district in Minnesota, in metropolitan Minneapolis, the tonier neighborhoods, I might add, is responsible for subjecting us to Michelle Bachmann. A district in supposedly a civilized corner of Iowa is responsible for sending us Steve King. And then there's that district in Georgia that is responsible for sending us Representative Paul Brown. Paul Brown, who finally shared with us last night the real source of his worries about the debt. Paul Brown. Now, this is a guy, speaking of drunks, we've seen Paul Brown drunker than Adam's off ox. On a couple of occasions on the floor of the house. And he looks like another one of those ugly party drunks. Oh, that's drunk. But Thomas, who you heard on the program call in a couple of nights ago, Thomas sent me a link toward the end of the program last night that just did one of those to me. It was a link to a Daily Coast diary by a person named Hunter. Hunter's diary, in this particular diary of Hunter's, begins with the telling phrase, "I do believe Representative Paul Brown may, in fact, be a bit of an idiot." I believe that may be the understatement of the decade. But, well, why? Why? Come on, Bob. Give up the, come with the goods. Well, this is why. This is an excerpt. How I wish I had the audio. This is an excerpt from the Jesus, from remarks that Paul Brown made. The original quote coming from a story in The Hill. Headline at The Hill, reading, You're going to love this.
Representative Brown, lower country club membership, an effect of a bad economy.
No, really. Lower country club membership. Wrecks the economy.
I tell you, I never saw dead people smoke before.
Guess it was Scots.
What do you say we bust up this joint, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, you two should get a room, you know? Hey, Ringo, play something hot, will you? And you guys, take some more lessons.
Yeah, Paul Brown. It may cripple country club memberships. Listen to this quote. When someone is overextended and broke, because Paul Brown talks with that sort of gooey, mush-mouth, cracker-ass accent. He really does. When someone is overextended and broke, they don't continue paying for expensive automobiles. They sell the expensive automobiles and buy a cheaper one. They don't continue paying for country club dues. They drop out of the country club. He continued, not understanding the first law of holes, that when one is in one, one stops digging. What we need to do is pay down the debt. We need to create a strong economy, create jobs, and raising the debt ceiling is just going to make it worse in the long term, in my opinion. So that's the reason I think we need to go back to the drawing board. We need to do everything we can to cut expenses across the board of the federal government so that we can put this financial house in order. We cannot continue this fiscal fiasco in Washington. We have to pay down the debt and stop creating more. Dear Jeebus. And Hunter does a lovely job with all of this over at Daily Kos. He writes, yes, won't somebody please think of the country clubs? What kind of monsters are we if in this jobless so-called recovery, full of pain and misery and people who haven't been able to find a new job in 99 weeks and so therefore are dumped into the Sarlacc pit, if the end result is declining country club memberships? And the automobiles, the expensive automobiles, the slightly cheaper automobiles, dashboards that lack narwhal tusk inlays, engines that can tolerate non-premium gasoline, madness, swirling madness all around us, the unfamiliar shapes, the tacky, insufficiently coordinated colors, visions of purchasing a mere Acura, with the salesmen all chanting, one of us, one of us, one of us. Hunter writes, yes, now the nightmare of America's worst recession since the Great One is really hitting home.
Well, what about the country clubs? What about the country clubs?
I've got a little poem that I'd like to read in honor of this occasion, if I may.
Spalding, get your foot off the boat. It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the seat.
Okay, Pookie, you'll be honored.
Bless this ship and all who sail on her.
I christen thee the Flying Wasp.
Yeah. Yeah. Judge Smales might be forced to... go with a Buick. A Buick. Dear God. They're clueless, aren't they? I mean, Yeah, it was offered. It was offered seriously. There's not a damn bit of silly. Not any playing around involved. This was Paul Brown offered this seriously. No tongue in cheek. This wasn't a joke. Paul Brown is trying to connect with the hoi polloi to show that he really is a man of the people who understands what crisis is all about. Yeah, now do you understand why I refer to him as the lobster for lunch crowd? Breathtaking, you know?
From Georgia is a Tea Party caucus member and joins us from the Hill. Congressman, were you there when the speaker went off on his members today?
Well, we had a very interesting conference this morning.
Sounds interesting.
John Boehner's trying to get this bill passed, and he's doing everything he can,
sure.
and he's going to work hard to do so.
Well, in telling people to line up, it sounds as though he was basically saying, get behind me, I need your help. He was really cracking the whip.
Well, he believes that this bill is the way to go and the way we need to be heading forward to try to solve the debt ceiling problem and the debt problem of America. I will not vote for this bill because I don't think we should be raising the debt ceiling at all. We need to be doing what a business does when it becomes overextended. And the federal government is broke. We are overextended. We need to do what a business would do. And that means lower our borrowing limit, start finding ways to pay off the debt, try to cut expenses across the board in every nook and cranny of the federal expenditures, and then we need to raise revenue. My Democrat colleagues want to raise taxes, but that's going to tax away jobs. What we need to do is raise taxpayers and not taxes.
Well,
we need to put some stability out there in the economic environment so the small businesses around this country will start hiring people and we'll have a greater economy and we can pay down this debt, and that's exactly what I'm fighting for here in Washington.
Not for me to carry water for the speaker here, but there aren't any taxes in his bill. So what's wrong with his bill? Why won't you vote for it? He's asking for your support as a matter of loyalty. His speakership could be on the line here.
Well, I don't agree with that comment. I don't believe his speakership is on the line at all. I just disagree with this particular bill, and I respect him. He's a very honorable man. He's working hard to foster what he believes in. And I introduced a bill to lower the debt ceiling, not raise it. And I just think raising the debt ceiling is not the way to go. We need to lower it. We need to pay off the debt. We need to deal with the debt. And we need to create a strong economy. And so we just disagree on the tactics here. But we both want to get to the same end result, and that's to create jobs out in the...
We both want to get to the same result, and that is to screw America blind. Oh, wait.
Throughout America, not
Congressman, when you talk about lowering the debt ceiling is being raised to pay for money that has been appropriated by this Congress and previous Congresses, but in particular by this Congress. You're paying for what has already been charged, not for future expenses.
Well, Andrea, the thing is, when someone is overextended and broke, they don't continue paying for expensive automobiles. They sell the expensive automobiles and buy a cheaper one. They don't continue paying for country club dues. They drop out of the country club. What we need to do is we need to pay down the debt. We need to create a strong economy, create jobs, and raising the debt ceiling is just going to make it worse long term, in my opinion. So that's...
Porterhouse, look at the wax buildup on these shoes.
First of all, I find it fascinating that the country club and the spiffy car analogy is where he has to go when he talks about people experiencing hard times. I guess Paul Brown has never ridden in a rusty red pickup truck with no air conditioning when it's 92 degrees outside. Because he would have traded that in. And he thinks about country clubs. But within that, and you know, there's got to be some members of his district who don't belong to the country club and who don't have a shiny new car every year. And that silly sod has just said that America's problems stem from the fact that we were spending too much time at the country club. The way, you know, just the way that I refer, you know, the way that I just referred to America as sitting in the back seat while John Boehner drives drunk out of his mind headlong down the highway. This is not sitting at all well with Texas Betsy. She writes, "This clown wants us to become a third world country." Yes, Betsy. Yes, he does. As long as because his ass is still in the country club, and he hasn't traded down anything. I mean, this bit, I introduced a bill to lower the debt ceiling. Well, that's just nuts. That's just plain old crazy. And he's one of those 26 that will not, as he was told, get his ass in line. Just as a sort of the whipped cream on poop moment, David in Tennessee notes, today, the bill he sponsored that would cut salaries at the Smithsonian by $56 million failed. But he was pimping for country clubs. Damn. We don't need that old Smithsonian institution. Just a bunch of old bones and Archie Bunker's chair and Fonzie's jacket. Why the hell do the people of America need to pay to keep Fonzie's jacket and Jethro Bodine's double naught spy hat in a museum? We don't need that. I mean, do you realize how much it costs us every year just to guard that there Hope Diamond? Sitting there in Washington, D.C. with all them women folks gaggling around it and oohing and aahing, when that could be sold to pay down the debt and we could give it to the money from it to my buddies. I'm sure there's some repig-licking constituents out there would be more than happy to pony up the large cash for the Hope Diamond. And they got all kinds of other jewelry in there. There is a certain detachment from reality that seems to obtain in this country. But you know what? You and I, we see reality in this country. I just got an email in from our buddy Corey, who comes from the free state of Louisville. He's on the road, Corey is. He said, I just drove through the area hit very hard by tornadoes in suburban Birmingham, Alabama. Wow. I could be compared to Mr. Spock when it comes to showing emotions, and I was close to tears seeing the devastation firsthand. Pictures will be forthcoming if you can stand to see them. I want to nominate every last self-centered right-wing person who thinks global warming doesn't exist. The Boehner impersonation lifted my mood considerably on the road in Birmingham. Signed, Corey.
Well, the only problem with those people in Birmingham, where's my Merlot? Is that kind of not pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps? That's what they just pull themselves up by their own bootstraps like I did when I left the tavern when I was 3. I never had any government assistance after a tornado. Stealing my Merlot again, aren't you? Paul Brown lives in the middle of Tornado Alley.
I mean, you know, we time and again I've raised this issue of door knocking in Repiglican districts. Pardon me, Mrs. Schmedlap? Looks to me like you voted for Michelle Bachmann. Could you tell me what the hell is wrong with you?
Well, she has family values and loves Jesus.
Well, that's fine. I want that in a member of my church. I don't want it in my Congress. I need brains in my Congress.
Well, we've got that Muslim Negro Keith Ellison. Someone has to balance that out.
But you want to ask, has anybody in the state of Alabama? You out there, Burns? Has anybody in the state of Alabama heard this clip from Paul Brown explaining about the country clubs? Has anybody who is even still, as Corey notes, picking through the detritus from that horrible, horrible night of those killer storms, have they heard Paul Brown's country club comments? If you live in Alabama or Mississippi or Arkansas or Oklahoma or Texas, and your life was literally blown into sticks a couple of months back, are you still wandering around prattling about family values? If you live in Joplin, Missouri, a very, very red area, are you still prating on about how we got to take our country back? Because, see, it wasn't that one in the White House took your country from you. It was a tornado. And it wasn't no liberal tornado. But liberal policies may very well help you gather your life back together if there's anything left of the country once the people you put into office stop destroying it.
Jim writing in. How much have you had? Now, we all know I do not do Limbaugh Radio here. My boner impression only comes from years of watching Foster Brooks on the old Dean Martin roasts. The one promise I make you is that this will be unimpaired radio. Because you can't get that promise from the likes of Rush Limbaugh. Or Glenn Beck, you know, he's a recovery. He's a junkie, too. Recovery, based on the things he says, is certainly up for debate. Great googly moogly. With regard to Boner in the driver's seat and President not sure over there in the seat where Mother sits with her right foot jammed halfway to the firewall in the floorboard, and a hand hanging onto the dashboard. You know, we had one of those cars once. When Dad traded it in, my mother's handprint was literally in the dashboard. It was one of those soft foam dashboards. It was a 1966 Chrysler. In regard to that whole scenario, Clayton writing in, it says, it's called enabling. by the president. Do you realize that's where we are? Doesn't that sort of just knock your socks off? The president of the United States is out there trying to help a man who hates his godforsaken guts. The president of the United States is actually trying to help John Boehner get something, anything, passed to stave off this Wall Street disaster that will surely strike. Now, doesn't that just about beat cats? Yeah. Oh, we got so much tonight. Michelle Bachmann refuses to answer questions about her husband's Homo Nomo program. Of course, she's going to go down and deliver the keynote speech for the Florida Family Policy Council. That's a branch of the Family Research Council, a hate group. Wow. Tell you what, let's go to the phones. What do you say? Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Tony, what's up, man?
I've been out of the loop a while, so. But I will be at my. Hey, listen, that little parody you did of Boehner, you're no stranger to Taiwan here and there, huh?
I'm not? What? No, that's just from watching Foster Brooks as a child.
Okay, well, you sound like a man of a little experience.
Well, let's remember, Tony, I am an accomplished former actor, and a bad one at that.
Yeah.
Pretty good. You're breaking up a little bit. But I don't. Well, it's nothing you're doing. It's something here.
Okay, let's get down to brass tacks, and I'll make this. I know what these guys are doing. They seem to, you know, all you hear on the mainstream media is we can't raise the debt ceiling, we can't raise the debt ceiling. Reagan raised it, Bush raised it. I mean, it's just how we run business. I don't understand what these people are trying to do. Do they really want to wreck this country? Do you really think they could be that evil?
Yeah, they could be that evil because they are that evil.
I mean, if the country fails, what is wrong with these people?
Well, see, I think, and it's difficult for me, it's difficult for you, it's difficult for all of us, Tony, to understand something. You remember when we questioned the Iraq War and the Sean Hannitys and so forth of the world said, "Why do you hate America?"
Oh, yeah, I remember all that.
See, everything that a Republican says is something they actually think. And they project it onto us. You don't want the country to fail. I don't want the country to fail. I don't want default. You don't want default. Because we love our country, Tony. Because we love our country. Republicans do not love the United States. Republicans despise the entire structure of the United States because, among other things, in large part, they are led by people who think that the Confederacy was a good idea, and they're still pissed off about losing it.
It's funny. When I first started listening to you, I was slightly moderate. I was willing to allow to see if the president could possibly work with these guys, and I was willing to get them the benefit out. But the more and more I see things, the more and more I realize that they're not going to compromise. And when you're talking about that drunk guy driving, you don't realize he was drunk until you got behind the wheel and he's driving. And usually the time you realize he's really drunk is when he's about to get on the freeway. So right now...
And then the acceleration starts, and you're just looking at your buddy in the back seat going, what have we gotten ourselves into this time?
Yeah, just as you realize you're really close, you're just about getting on that outer ramp. And then you realize, I'm stopping. You know, it's just like, okay, we're doing 60 miles, and this guy's weaving all over the place. and he's accelerating. So I don't know. The president's going to have to stop him, but it's still a little nerve-wracking, to say the least. You know?
Well, the word I reach for is terrifying.
So. Yeah, that's the word. Yeah, terrifying. Hey, listen, I want to ask you a few things. I've been away for a while, so if I bounce around a little bit, please forgive me. You were on that, it's a little ways ago, but you went on that cruise with Hal Sparks, correct?
Well, I didn't go with Hal, but Hal was there,
no,
yeah.
You didn't go with Hal, was there, yeah. He was on the snake oil salesman from Texas show the other day. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, no. Alex Jones?
Yeah, he was on Alex Jones' show.
Oh, Jesus.
And so listen to this. You're going to love this. Alex, he shouts everybody down. You know that. He's a little bit of a loose cannon. You know that. They were in a debate, and he brought up Alex Jones brought up Rachel Maddow. And he said, and I know you probably heard him say this, he said, Mr. Maddow. Right?
Yeah, isn't that cute? That's so funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny.
You should have heard Hal come back. I've never heard anybody come back so intelligently in my lifetime. Can't give you the exact thing he said, but he basically started it with, well, what does that have to do with anything? So what you're saying is, just because she's a certain way, she didn't have opinions that could possibly be, and it went on from there. And Hal pretty much shut them down, and it was pretty amazing to listen to. And I got to give the guy a lot of credit, because he didn't try to shout him down. He basically started his sentence with that, and he went forward from there. And by the end of the conversation, Jones was stammering. It was pretty nice to listen to, because most of the time he just shouts everybody down. But really, when they, like I told you before, when they attack people by saying, oh, he's fat, or Mr. Maddow, that's because they got nothing. So they grab on something.
Well, and but Tony, it's also because they are playing to the hateful bigotries that are inherent to the right wing.
No, absolutely. Hal, I was listening to it, and I've never spoken to the man, but I could wish.
Oh, Hal's a nice guy. I mean, Hal is a very funny man. He is a brilliantly intelligent man. He is a bit too much of an Obama apologist for my taste.
Yeah.
But he does so in a spirit of goodwill. He wants the president to succeed, and he desperately despises these right-wing knuckle-dragging freaks, and is willing to cut slack to President Obama from now until just about the end of time. And that's admirable. That's admirable advocacy on his part.
But it was. I'm telling you, Bob. It was a thing of beauty to listen to, because he pretty much shut him down. I mean, Ted Nugent. This went a while back. Ted Nugent did the same thing with Stephanie Miller. When I think they were on Politically Correct or something, but he flips her off. I mean, when they start losing the argument, they grab for the nearest thing they can do. I mean, flipping somebody off—that's your answer to the argument. It's like calling somebody Mr. Maddow. That's your answer to the argument. It's like when Michael Moore's movie, we're going back on the Wish for a Night, 911 took off and it blew up huge. The people would say, "Well, he's fat." What does that have to do with the fact whether it's true or not? I mean, that's what they grab on to, because it clouds over the fact that they have no returning argument. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. Did you watch the World Cup at all?
No, I didn't get to. I was pretty tied up at the time.
That ending was pretty dramatic. And once again...
Yeah, but you know what? I gotta tell you, Tony, I hate that penalty kick way of ending a soccer game.
To be honest with you, It wasn't my favorite, but I will say this. You kind of saw, not that I'm sad that America didn't win, don't get me wrong, it was kind of a bummer, but at the same time, you kind of saw, like, you got a taste of why some people around the world have a tendency to think of us as, for lack of a better word, I'm only going to grab this word because it's only like elitist, because when Japan won, and believe me, they won fair and square, you see, like, the announcers kind of biased. Like, you see, they were a little bit like,
the hype of the coverage wouldn't have been there had it not been for the fact that the United States women's team was in that game.
Yeah, it was a pretty amazing game. Hey, I haven't seen Carl's around. Is he okay?
He called in a couple of nights ago, yeah. I think he's setting them up and knocking them down.
That's cool. How about Cassie? Have you heard from her?
Haven't heard from Cassie in a little bit, and I assume if at some point she hears the podcast, especially from last night about the young girl in Arkansas who was denied her spot as a valedictorian because she suffered from a terrible, terrible case of blackness, I imagine I'm likely to hear from her. That story was right in Cassie's wheelhouse.
Okay, if you don't mind going over that, what exactly happened? I missed that.
Oh, young woman in Arkansas was a had the highest grade point average of her graduating class by a long shot. Nobody anywhere even near her. 4 years of high school, never got anything, but she got one B out of all A's.
Okay.
And she was all set to be valedictorian when the high school said, you know, we're going to appoint some co-valedictorians because if we just had one Negro up there, that would create a big mess.
So basically it's reverse affirmative action then.
Well, yeah, you could say that.
So
I think of it as an academic mugging.
You know, remember when I told you a while back that it feels like that scene from Do the Right Thing where things just keep building and building? It just feels like it's still just happening, Bob. It just keeps piling on more and more and more every day. Something's got to change, man, because we got another election coming up, and it just seems like if a Bachman gets in or they don't even talk about Palin anymore. She's not the flavor of the month anymore. She's done. But these guys, Christie, all these dudes, they're scary.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Tracy, lady cab driver, adding in an extra detail on the Arkansas story. This young woman got those grades working her butt off after having had a baby in her junior year of high school.
So let me get this straight. She's an unwed black mother, not that has anything to do with it, who turned her life around, should be an example for everybody, but you're not going to hear anything about that.
No.
But God forbid.
And she got these grades taking advanced placement, honors, the hardest classes she could take.
So she never, ever, ever got any kind of a free ride.
No.
As the Republicans say, she pulled herself up bootstraps.
Yes.
And she should be on every channel 24/7.
No, but if we have one of them who pulls themselves up by the bootstraps and they buy themselves up there on the stage and they'll have some white balance to them, you know, that's why your video camera has a button on it that says white balance. You got to have some white balance on there because otherwise it's just going to be a big mess.
You said a little while ago something about mush mouth cracker ass way of talking.
I do believe I did.
Okay. Let me say this, this comes from and I'm sure all the other horses, they all do, but I think all the other horses feel this way. For you to be raised up, you are far from that part of the country, right? And for you to say that and be able to get away with saying that, I mean, that's because, you know, I'm Hispanic, and I'm sure you have a large group of Northern Jews. We don't see you as a white dude. We see you as like just a guy. Because for you to say that, and in the true sense of the word, shows you understand.
Now, I appreciate the sentiment, Tony. But hold on, brother. We have met face to face.
Yeah.
We have broken burrito together.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, come on. I burn under the refrigerator. No, I'm inexorably unavoidably white.
Yeah, I understand that, but we don't see you as that, bro. I mean, because for you to say that and understand it, you understand what I'm saying? You're not.
Yeah, I do, and it's really kind of you to say. I appreciate it.
I can't think of the word, but you know what? You're like, anyway, I'm rambling. Anyway, I've been out of the loop for a while, and it's great to hear you, and I'm thinking back to you, but my schedule's been a little crazy. And I've kicked in for a while. That's been a little crazy, too, but I will be back. Again, and I'll start kicking in as soon as
I appreciate. Well, we all appreciate it, and we worry about people when they're not in the chat room where they're supposed to be and don't hear from them and stuff. So, but it's good to hear from you, Tony, and I'm glad you're out there in a rough neck of the woods where it's getting right hot right now.
Dude, it's Ethiopian hot out here.
Wait, okay, we had some breakup. But did you just say it's Ethiopia hot out here?
It's Ethiopia hot out here. It's Somalia.
Oh, my God.
It's Ethiopia hot out here, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, take care. Take care, Tony.
Take care, bye.
Bye now. It is Sahara. Do they still have the Sahara in Vegas, or did they blow that one up with the sand? Because this, you know, Sahara is not just a brand name in Vegas right now. It's Sahara hot. The note coming in from Texas Betsy, talking about, you know, drunk drivers and so forth. And she said, my son called me last year. Mom, can you pick me up? I don't want to drive me home. Can we offer her a ride, too? Texas Betsy says at 16 he was smarter than Obama, who's letting John Boehner drive America drunk right into a phone pole. Jeebus. David in Tennessee noting, by the way, speaking of Birmingham, Alabama, Jefferson County and the city are, as we converse, inches away from bankruptcy. Really. They have the turtle squirts for fear any federal money for the governments there or the peoples there will be interrupted by this latest BS. Seriously, with or without federal money made scarce, Jefferson County is at the edge of that much-mentioned cliff. Ah, yes, says David. The wages of voting in Republicans for the last 15 years. Yeah, buddy. And see, when you're in the midst of crisis, you don't tend to think in terms of, wow, did I screw myself a couple of years ago when I voted for that guy with the family values? Because the crisis is all that your brain can think about. And if somebody like me says, by the way, you may have screwed yourself when you voted for the guy with the family values a couple of years ago. Well, you insensitive prick! But it's not insensitivity. It's intervention. We can either have a little intervention or the dude can get back behind the wheel. And I got to tell you, that on-ramp to the interstate when he runs the old 71 Buick up to 95 miles an hour and is having his own personal Merlot-induced Dale Earnhardt moment, pretty damn terrifying. Hey, welcome to the program.
Yeah, listen, some of the prognosticators on the left are starting to get real fidgety. This Kuttner guy, you know, Robert Kuttner?
Oh, yeah. With a K?
He's like talking about, oh, dear God, he's comparing the situation to World War One, saying that both sides thought the other would blink. They didn't. And we had 4 years of, you know what happened in World War One.
Right, so he's suggesting that we are heading for an economic Ardennes?
Right, he's saying that unless, and this is the thing that's really disturbing, which makes it almost hysterical on his part, because he's saying the only chance we have now is for President Dotshire to do what his character has never shown for him to do, which is invoke the 14th Amendment. So if these freaks on the left are waiting for that to happen, well, good Jesus. And
well, I mean, but yeah, and the problem with that, Sandra, is that's not even a settled doctrine.
Well, not only that, but it's just kind of, you know, you need to pull back from thinking and hoping that this man is going to jump up. Has he done it yet, Bob?
Not that I know of.
All he's done is fed the Republicans what they wanted to get them to this point they're at now, where they think they can just do what the fuck they want. A lot of this is on him. He's not a crisis president. I don't know what the hell he is. He is President Buchanan. I swear to God, my head exploded when I read that.
Oh, Sandra, I got to tell you, the minute I saw that yesterday, I forwarded it on to Dr. Bill.
Right.
And I had lunch today with Dr. Bill.
Well, the thing is,
and Dr. Bill looks at me and goes, Bob, oh my God, I never thought of it that way. That is so true.
Not only that, but that particular, don't laugh at me, but you know, I do read certain professors, you know, blogs, you know what I mean? And so that one was just like, are you kidding me? Because he also had some other posts that were just outrageous, this particular guy from Swarthmore. But that particular, that was incredible. Because if you know anything about Buchanan, he was a straight-up technocrat. Now, he was living in a time that was horrific, But it's an amazing analogy, don't you think?
It's stunning. It's stunningly apt and particularly accurate because, and the guy was divorced from reality. As that article mentions, you know, Dred Scott came along and went, oh, well, ho-hum, that's taken care of.
It's settled. Yeah, and not only that, I just think that the trying to please everyone and ended up not pleasing anyone. It's just like, get me with this.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, here's how we'll solve it. We'll let Kansas enter the Union as a slave state. I'll give the radical, confrontational portion of my government what they want. Every time they ask for it, I'll give them what they want. How'd that play out, Sandra? Because that's what we're seeing now, isn't it? Constant capitulation to the wants and desires and mad-ass dreams of the right wing?
Yeah, and the analogy is disturbing because it's unfortunate, you know, that we're talking about period right before the Civil War, you know, and now we have a black president. Doesn't seem to know what could be over the horizon, because trust me, if for some reason Obama is a one president, I have no idea what is going to follow. But the analogy is interesting because what followed Buchanan was Abraham Lincoln. And, you know, Lincoln decided on one side, which this president seems incapable of doing. You see what I'm saying? Lincoln decided that, oh, shit, you know, slavery's wrong. Maybe we should do something about it. He didn't say, oh, it's kind of not bad. You see what I'm saying? You know, and we're at a point now where we need someone to say yay or nay on something.
Well, the idea of the kinds of yays one would get out of a Michelle Bachmann or a Rick Perry or a Jeb Bush or any of those freaks just gives me the fantods. But no, look, we don't have to go back to 1858, Sandra. We've got 2001 to 2009 to look at, and we all hated his guts. We despised the air he breathed and the ground he walked on. But it didn't matter what was being announced. Everything that George W. Bush did, he did decisively.
Well, yeah, there wasn't any, you know, no, it was no in between with that fool. We were clear on that. But the thing is, it's disturbing what's going on here because if we really have to be looking at Obama stepping up and actually saying, well, shit, I'm going to have to get out of my comfort zone and invoke this sort of untested doctrine, and if I may use another phrase on my list, think outside the box, I don't know what we're going to do, Bob. I'm truly disturbed, but the banks have issued a statement, you know, telling them they need to spread out. I thought that was interesting.
Well, but, you know, he is entering, whether President Not Sure understands it or not, and I realize that's presumptuous on my part, Sandra, but he is entering a swamp. And it's a swamp that has no correct paths, because Steve King, who has considerable seniority in the Republican caucus, Steve King has said, well, by God, if that one lets this here country go into default, we'll impeach him.
Well, yeah, there's that whole scenario.
Okay, so...
Yeah, but if they impeach him, you know, Obama wins by a landslide, I think. I mean, I think that, you know, if Obama took the charge and did this, I would say, yeah, good luck to Republicans, because who wouldn't be on Obama's side at this point, truly? Think about it. That decisive.
What, well, no, all the Republicans.
Well, they wouldn't. Right, but I mean, you know,
the teabaggers, the traditional rock-ribbed Republican. Because remember, you know, and I'm not being argumentative. I hope you understand, Sandra. Remember, we're dealing with a situation where there is, you know, where the actual, how to put this, you know, the American for-profit corporate media are, for all intents and purposes, the French Vichy government in this scenario.
Well, the fact that they're making it into this sort of equal debate is truly disturbing, because you have one side that's saying either you do what we want you to do or we're going to crash the economy, and you have the other side that's trying to prevent disasters, and the media is portraying it as an equal thing. So how the hell, if you're just trying to understand what's going on out here, do you get the real story?
It's well, exactly, and beyond that, it is also that false equivalence is
right.
Also disingenuous because, and frankly, I would jump up and down and yell hooray if President Not Sure would come out and do this. It was 12th grade government class when I first heard those words, Congress has the purse strings. You know what I'm saying? It's up to the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives, by function of the Constitution, initiates all the money bills. And if right now we are looking at a situation where Barack Obama can't pass a bill.
He can't introduce
legislation. There's only one side in this thing, and that's the question of will the House of Representatives do the job that it is constitutionally mandated to do?
Well, listen, if we go into next week, we're going to start being in uncharted areas, and I go back to the President Buchanan era. I mean, Lincoln was in uncharted areas, and he did whatever the hell he wanted to do. Am I wrong?
No, you are not.
It's just like, I mean, I fear for what damage can be done to our mode of government, but I'm also not interested in hearing about the Treasurer's plan to pay bondholders first. This is what's being leaked.
Oh, God.
Excuse me, but if you get Social Security, aren't you a fucking bondholder?
I would say that you've got seniority in the process because that's actually your money, just like
right.
a bond purchaser.
Right. But that's not what they're talking about.
So Social Security recipients are going to be the ones that get the haircut?
Oh, I have no idea, but I'm just saying that, they're talking about the usual people, the creditors. That's who they're going to be talking about paying first. Now, these are leaks, who knows what's really going on. And also keep in mind, the World War I analogy, if you want to use that, because that speaks to people not knowing what the hell they're doing. See? And not knowing what they're doing and letting shit get even more out of control than it is. Because as far as I'm concerned, it's already out of control. Because Obama and the Democrats should have raised the debt ceiling in December when they did that deal with the taxes. You understand what I'm saying? When they didn't do it then, it was like, oh, shit, from that point, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and why didn't they?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So we're talking incompetence mixed up with I think people will do the right thing, bullshit on Obama's part. We also have, does he have the nerve to take a leadership role? So, yeah, I really don't know. But I tell you
And
what,
see, there's another leg to this thing I mentioned a minute ago, Sandra, and that's this. So they will impeach him if we default. On the other hand, if he takes this 14th Amendment option, they'll impeach him for that, too.
Well, nevertheless, it still leaves this country in
crippled.
A really bad economic crisis if the markets are going to freak out,
And they freaked out some yesterday, didn't they?
Well, yeah, and I think tomorrow, if this vote doesn't go through, which apparently he pulled it, didn't he? Because
yeah, he didn't have the votes.
You don't have enough, and then now Cantor's trying to say they're going to do it later tonight, but I mean, it's Thursday, ain't it? The 28th.
Yeah, and it was a week ago when they said, we need to do it right now in order to get the legislation written.
Well, listen, here's something else that I found that I thought was quite interesting. A city and Goldman had to scrap this huge $1.5 billion CD. What do they call mortgage-backed securities? Because the S&P wouldn't Standard & Poor's, it wouldn't rate. They wouldn't rate whatever rating agency it is. They wouldn't rate those mortgage securities. This is the first time ever, and they had to scrap this huge deal. Now all of a sudden, the rating agencies are performing as they should. Now I don't know how this relates to the bigger picture, but it's quite stunning to actually see them say no to Goldman Sachs.
Yeah, because that's generally not something that is done just out of hand.
Well, no, because what usually happens if you know, this is what was going on. You have those mortgage-backed securities, you know, it's a combination of different mortgages. These are commercial ones, and, you know, Tranche, they're saying that, okay, they're all rated goods. They can sell them as an investment instrument. But the rating agency on this one said, no, we don't know what the hell these mortgages are. Sorry, too bad. And that's like, to me, it's sort of, I don't know what that is, but I was really quite disturbed and surprised by that story. Because it was like, oh, wait a minute. You know, they're trying to be legit just in time to lay our economy to waste. I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm just speculating. But, and the other story in Bloomberg that really killed me was, hello, the smallest hay crop in centuries is on.
Whoa.
Hay has gone from $100 to $186 a short ton. The highest.
Say ever. What?
The high, yeah. $186 a short ton. They can't.
Wouldn't have anything
grass
to do with a drought, would it?
Well, yeah. This is Texas. They can't find enough grass to feed the cattle. You know, meat prices will probably go up. So anyway, yeah, corn. This is the first time that a lot of farmers have devoted all their crops to corn for ethanol and not for feed. So.
Oh, the chicken. Well, kind of in it's not apt to say the chickens are coming home to roost, but that's what's happening.
Well, no, but if you look at the, I mean, you know, I get hella nervous when it's sort of like the sort of food, you know.
Yeah, because that's kind of got that extra soupçon of Mad Max about it, doesn't it?
Well, it's just, yeah, you know, it's just like, oh, good night. But anyway, I don't know. I don't really know what to think about the whole debt thing because it, you know, we can't get past that it was it's manufactured, but it's morphed into this sort of horror show.
And it's, but is it really morphing or is it manufactured? I mean, I look at it as something manufactured, right?
It's manufactured until, until people, start losing the rest of their, savings and retirements and, everything goes up in price because interest rates start rising. I mean, then it's not manufactured. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't know about this whole thing about not people not getting checks because I thought the Social Security is kind of revenue neutral or self-funded. I mean, what are they going to do?
Well, it shouldn't even, realistically, it shouldn't, any Republican who mentions the Social Security as being a function of the debt.
Yeah, right.
Should be whipped.
Well, listen, what did what's his name, the historian?
Oh, Dr. Bill.
What did he say about that, Buchanan? He thought that was interesting, huh?
Oh, he said it was frightening. He said it was frighteningly appropriate.
Well, the thing that really killed me about that was when you think about Harper's Ferry and just how out of control both sides were, and this Buchanan is still trying to meet the middle and try to work with everybody. I'm like, dude, you know, Brown killing folks. They don't care. It was out of control. It sort of feels the same way now. It's like, listen, there's no time to sit around and dithering and trying to bring people together, you know?
Yeah, no, we're fresh out of kumbaya time.
But also, the other thing that I read that I thought was interesting, I'll let you go, but what people are now calling Barack Obama the Democrats' Richard Nixon, which is very interesting because Nixon was kind of, the nightmare of conservatives because he was liberal in the end, as far as they're concerned. And they're trying to say that Obama is kind of coming across that way because he's extending and pretending the conservative movement because of the domination of the Reagan Revolution.
Oh,
So whereas Nixon created the EPA and the other sort of regulatory institutions, Obama is doing the exact opposite of what the progressive expected.
Right.
And I just thought it was interesting because it's framed in a way that, well, we're now in this sort of conservative period, and anyone who's coming to power is going to have to operate within that.
Right, within that paradigm.
Right. I don't know. I mean, you know,
if our much vaunted FDR for the 21st century would come along, he would have to be FDR for the 21st century in the midst of a conservative worldview. I got that?
Yeah, it's that sort of. I mean, that's the kind of. You know, I just think it's just kind of an interesting way of looking at Obama in the context of what he's dealing with, you know. So
yeah, and that's the kind of stuff you get. And I'm not being harsh, but you know, from the Obama apologists, you know, he's done a hell of a lot of stuff, and he's done it. FDR couldn't have done what he's done because FDR didn't have to deal with the assholes he has to deal with.
I think there's no you know, there's still no excuse because the Reagan Revolution, you know, has been sort of discredited, you know, beyond. I mean, even with this sort of tax cuts, we've had horrific tax cuts for a decade, and look at the state of things, yet we're still being serenaded by that same bullshit. So he's in a position to step out of it and do something drastic, but I'm not too sure if he will. I don't really know.
Well, and that goes back to our continuing discussion, Sandra, of does he even want to?
He'd be FDR if he had FDR's Congress.
Well, do we really think he would? Because, you know, it's that Chicago thing that just sort of hovers in the back over my head like the sword of Damocles. You know, he comes from a school of thought that just doesn't believe in the stuff that FDR did.
And the Hamilton, don't forget he spoke at the Hamilton Group, which was, it's a sort of hard right, third way think tank, and there he was speaking in front of it. So, I mean, you know, you have to sort of look at what is, but that still doesn't really help us in this moment because, to be honest, I'm really disturbed. I don't know what they plan on coming up with.
Well, and it goes back to the initial discussion, Sandra, of Abraham Lincoln versus James Buchanan. James Buchanan was a technocrat. James Buchanan was an administrator. James Buchanan was anything but a leader. And I don't think Barack Obama is a leader. I think he's an administrator. I think he's a man who has this vision of being a manager of empire, not a leader of it.
Well, he's going to be continuing to preside over the decline. That's how I'm framing it from now on. But, you know, I just don't know where we're going to be, you know, if I call you up this time next week. See, and that's not how we need to be living in a, quote, first world country. It's stunning, Bob.
No.
It's absolutely stunning.
No, that's not how we're supposed to live. And frankly, the rest of the world is looking at us going, are you guys serious? Because, you know, the Eurozone, they understand why what happened to Greece happened. They understand what's happening in Spain, Portugal, Ireland, etc. And it's debt and currency related, right? I mean, I've learned that from you. But let me see if I can gather my wits. The Republicans are real fond of creating self-fulfilling prophecies. And if you recall during the run-up to the 2010 midterms, the talking point was all over the right wing. Well, we've got to get this spending under control or we're going to be Greece. And they've got this idea, they convinced themselves that we were on an equivalent footing with Greece.
The problem is the same as the problem in Greece, and now they are responding to it, since they are in power in the House, as if their supposition was a matter of a law of nature. Does it make any sense?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, but the thing that's missing in the U.S. that's not missing in Europe, if you look at what's going on, Merkel, you know, we say that Germany is like the center of the world in that crisis. Merkel is like, shit, she had to step back and actually demand that the banks take some losses because of the severe pushback that she is getting from her people. She has lost three elections in a row. Passes toast. So she's like, let's see, the crisis was created by people, and we're asking the people who had nothing to do with it to pay. We can't do this anymore. She sees what time it is, and she sees that the door is open for her to get the hell out if she don't comply. So she's asking and making banks and other creditors take a bit of a hit. You have nothing remotely like this here.
No, yeah. No, because among other things,
there's no pushback.
Well, there's no pushback, and the German government is responsive to the will of the German people.
Well, it's very telling. What, you know, the taxpayers there are like, and cut. No way. It's not happening. I mean, you know, it's a bit more complicated what I'm saying, but it's definitely something to compare and contrast, because what we have here is a system where the rich are not going to pay. They are not going to pay. This is
yeah, because, you know, and Paul Brown made it clear that that's what matters. You know, we are not going to give up our country club memberships.
No, see, that... But
and we ain't driving no Oldsmobiles.
No, but it's amazing when they open their mouths. It's just like, oh, dear God, I couldn't even believe that guy. Country clubs? What are you talking... You know, it was just... When they try to make that connection, you just... It's just a gaping gap of nothingness. They don't know what the hell is going on. But anyway, I don't, you know, I really don't know what to think about this. And, you know, frankly, you know, I'm kind of worried, because I, on a personal level, it's like, yeah, you know, I need to finish up this master's degree, but it ain't going to happen without some help from the goodness. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there thinking, well, let's see, what are the options?
Well, I know, and I know what one of the options are. And you know what? I got an email the other night after I asked that little, made that smart alecky little crack, and said, you know, do they call it popcorn in England? And yes, they call it popcorn in England, Bob, and Sandra's going to be enjoying it.
Well, no, but it's just, you know, but realistically, I just, you know, you don't want to believe that we have drifted so close to the banana republic.
But we have. We really have. And you don't want to believe it. And what's the phrase they like to use in the opinion, law opinion case? It shocks the conscience. It is, if you sit down and you think about the present circumstances, it is shocking to the conscience that the Republican Party will let it get to here. But it's only shocking to the conscience for as long as you're sitting there thinking that they actually care about this country, too. I mean, I'm not saying this to be, oh, well, he's an edgy talk radio host, Sandra. I mean, yeah, you know me. We've been talking for a long time. I genuinely, to the last molecular ends of my flippin' toenails, believe that the Republican Party's primary goal is to destroy, or at least this manifestation of the Republican Party, is to destroy not only the culture, but the very government itself, and set up something far more dictatorial, far more harsh, far more draconian, and far less forgiving of human failings than what this system is. I mean, they would like to have a constitutional convention.
You know, you have to just be totally terrified at the level of ignorance. You know, Alan Greenspan's wife was trying to explain to that dumbass, listen, you dumbass, these are obligations already paid for. Your Congress paid for them already. What are you talking about lowering the ceiling? I was dying. I was rolling. I said, damn, these people hella stupid who are holding office. This fool talking about we need to lower it. You know, it's just craziness. It's completely crazy train.
But the thing is, they move in a circle where they look at each other. Oh, that was brilliant. That was brilliant.
No, but what, I was surprised because Mrs. Green.
And isn't this Paul Brown creep? Isn't he one of those Republican MDs? Isn't he a physician?
Weird ass doctors.
Isn't he?
I don't.
Or is
know,
it? No, but, no. Maybe it's some other freak from Georgia.
No, but you know, because did you notice that Mrs. Greenspan was getting a bit.
Yeah, she does have the country club membership, and maybe that analogy rode home for her.
Who knows? But I just found that whole, because see, people when you know who these people are, it's like, bitch, you married to Alan Greenspan, that asshole should be in jail. Get off the TV.
Here's one of those disgusting human moments on the horn. Can you imagine being Andrea Mitchell and snuggling up to Alan Greenspan every night, knowing that he sat at the feet of Ayn Rand and kissed her toes?
Well, he might have done something else to her, too.
Here's
Bryant.
Kobe.
anyway.
Yeah, that's how he rolls. poor woman. David in Tennessee confirming, yes, Brown is a doc, and this is, you know, I got a little graphic the other night with Dr. Tom Coburn of Oklahoma.
Oh.
Yeah. Dr. Paul Brown is, David says he's an OBGYN, I think.
Another one? What is up? Oh, God. Wow. No, you know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, not with a 90-foot speculum, you know?
Not only that, but it's one thing, you know, about being, a woman during this period. You had the option. You're like, I need to see. No, I'm not going to see him when I can see her. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, why are men still allowed to be OBGYNs? Yeah, I mean, I'm just asking.
Why the fuck would I go to some man? I'm sorry. I don't mean to get. I just am sort of appalled by all that. But, you know, it's just a nightmare. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But it's giving me the creeps. It's like, hello?
Yeah, he got his MD from the Medical College of Georgia in Augusta. Okay, now does the country club thing begin to make a little sense?
Oh, boy.
Augusta National? You know, where the women folk can't go in the building?
Yeah, of course, it always smacks of misogyny when I think of people like that, too. And then it's a OBGYN. Oh, God, that's horrifying. Can I say it's horrifying?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Goodness. Yeah, so this is what we're dealing with. Wow. Well, I don't know. I'm not imbued with much confidence up in here.
And, of course, he routinely compares Barack Obama to Marxists and Hitler. He's a fascist. He's a fascist. No, he's a communist. No, he's both.
Oh, God. Well, no, but see, just seeing all these people's realness is really scary.
Man. I mean, yeah, okay, here, let's just have a little Paul Brown moment here for a second. Now, whether he's an OBGYN or not, somewhere along the way through 4 years of medical school, he had a class in nutrition, right? I mean, can we assume? Even at the Medical College of Georgia in Augusta, all right?
Shut up.
September 2010. And Rachel Maddow broke this story. He got head up about a report from the Centers for Disease Control that said Americans aren't eating enough fruits and vegetables. Okay, that's crazy enough. I mean, that's right on down the road of fluoride, Mandrake, in little children's ice cream. Fluoride. This is the quote. I may not be able to get through it. Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta said people in America are not eating enough fruits and vegetables. They want all the power of the federal government to force you to eat more fruits and vegetables. That is what the federal CDC, they're going to be calling people and finding out how many fruits and vegetables you eat today. This is socialism of the highest order.
They're going to be calling you?
Yeah, they're going to be calling. You eating your fruits and vegetables? Because we're going to branch Davidian your ass if you ain't had an apple today.
Oh, God, it's too much. I mean, these people, I don't even understand. Why are you in government if you hate it so much? You know what I'm saying?
Well, he's there to destroy it.
Well, it's just disgusting. It's like, in the meanwhile, they're okay with, you know, the minions of Rupert Murdoch making friends with parents of murdered people and giving them phones so they can hack into it. Have you heard that?
Yes.
I mean,
we had a perfect right to hack into that phone. It belonged to News Corp.
My God, I was just like, are you kidding me with this story? You know what? It's incredible. But no, the government is what we really need to fear. No, I'm scared of Murdoch. That's scary. I'm not scared of the.
I don't know how it is out there where you are, but I get to see some delightful bumper stickers here where I am, and the one I love the most, and I still see one of them every now and then, is one of those that says, "I love my country, but I fear my government."
Oh God, no! I need that boner's face. Is this ass making my car look fat?
Yeah.
I need to get the stickers. I need one with boner, cancer, maybe Obama, all three of them in one swoop. Put that up. No, anyway, I'm sorry.
But if that's the case, which one's the crack?
Oh, God. Oh, you know, I get so much slack if I put something like that on my car. Good.
I've had nails thrown in my driveway over stuff in my yard and my car. For putting up a sign supporting the Coal River Wind campaign. Yeah, I got these things called Jack Rocks thrown in my driveway.
Oh,
they're these evil little things that are made out of nails,
yeah.
And whichever way they fall, a nail is pointing up.
A horse? Oh wow, that's just because of your political bent.
Well, because I oppose mountaintop removal. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. Can't do that. We all must.
Yeah. Can't object to being poisoned to death now.
That's what I'm saying. Well, listen. Regardless of what goes on, if I may be shallow and obnoxious, are we gonna see some fucking football?
I think we're gonna see some football.
You know, if this shit falls apart, am I still gonna see a football game?
You know, pray God that you still got the over the air because, you know, the cable may go.
Oh, no. Listen, I'm
and on Saturday, and on Saturdays when you tune into the CBS coverage, Sandra, I think I mentioned this, when you tune into the CBS coverage on Saturdays, I found out it was CBS after we talked, you're going to get to listen to the dulcet tones and the discriminating the discriminating analysis proffered by Rich Rodriguez.
No, you did mention that he was doing color.
Yeah,
but
it's CBS.
What about Trestle?
Well, I don't know if Trestle's found it. He may be a little bit too radioactive yet.
Well, he might want to start marketing that vest. He could probably get some play on that shit.
But you know, I find a delicious irony in that Rich Rodriguez got run from Michigan for being an incompetent loser. Trestle got run from Ohio State for, and can't you just see Trestle in the AD's office? Well, wait a minute. I ain't never even lost to Michigan, what? I beat them ass hats. You can't. What? Apple roadmap. Bye, Jim.
Well, who is that coach down in? Who's the coach for Alabama?
Nick Saban.
Yeah, Saban. He's the one that came out saying, "Well, shit, we need to pay these players." I think he's saying like $300 a game or some madness, and he would take it out of his money. I mean, you know, whatever you want to say about that idea, shit. As far as I'm concerned, he's on the right track because it's out of control. How much money do these kids?
Well, Jesus, even you know that. I mean, that's why. Even though they don't have a salary cap and it's all screwed up at the top end, at least baseball has, you know, 100-year-plus tradition of farm teams. And if you want to make it to the bigs, you go into the farm system, and you play A-ball, and you play double-A-ball, and you play triple-A-ball, and you're not paid that much, but you learn how the damn game is played.
Yeah.
But football can't have that because football is so godforsaken brutal, Sandra, that if you had that kind of farm system in football, you'd never get anybody into the NFL.
Right, because they would just be sort of, their bodies would be brutalized. No, I do understand. But it's just sort of, you know, the constant kind of scandals. It's just like, come on, enough already. The whole Cam Newton thing, it's like, well, damn Skippy, why the fuck wouldn't his parents get some money out of it? I'm sorry, I can't take it.
Right, the rules are so damn draconian. That, I mean, you know, the kid who's studying chemistry who comes from modest means, he can have himself a work-study job, and he makes minimum wage, and he washes test tubes for 3 hours a day. And he's got some beer money on the weekend. An NCAA athlete cannot have that, and he's working 50 times as hard.
Right, no, but it's just kind of like, you know, this whole idea that, well, they're getting an education, that's BS. Most of them people, it's not, they're not trading the same. That education is still not enough for what they're doing. And I know it's controversial having this discussion, but it's...
No, but Jesus,
like,
give them some cheeseburger money. No, I believe, I don't like Nick Saban, but you know what? He was ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I was quite surprised.
But the sad thing is that it's, you know, it's honor among thieves, I think, Sandra, because the minute you pass a rule that says college football and basketball, you know, college athletes can earn X amount of money, and it's no violation, okay? The minute you pass that, then the boys in the booster club who wear polyester suits and cowboy boots, well, they can have $300 a game. You know what? If we want to compete in this here league, we're gonna have to make sure that's $1,000 a game.
Yeah, no, it just escalates. No. I understand the downside. I'm just thinking just the reality of, you know, everyone's freaking out when some kid gets a car or gets the extra money or their parents get a house. I mean, who cares?
Why not? And maybe I like to think this is rather an elegant response. Why not treat college athletics like what it is? Work study.
Yeah,
pay the athletes the same thing that the test tube washer's getting.
You know, but anyway, I mean, you know, I'm sure we can go on and on, but I didn't mean to turn to sports, but...
Oh, no. I'm ready to make that turn just any old time.
When you're overwhelmed by the other shit, sports is always a good refuge. But anyway, listen, I'll let you go.
All right, you take care, Sandra.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye now. Yeah, I gotta have that. I gotta, you know, and I don't begrudge you Dancing with the Stars or American Idol. I gotta have that. I gotta have some sort of escape. Whether it's a cheap crime, I'm still mad. I'm still angry at Amazon or whoever has the publication rights. It is about damn time that John D. McDonald's books be available on Kindle. There, I said it. But, you know, Sandra talks with her tongue half in her cheek about going watching eating popcorn in England. You know what I do? Every now and then I check the exchange rate of dollars to pesos. And I wonder, is there somewhere I could go in Mexico and get, you know, and you know, why not? Why not? I got a better chance of going to Mexico than I do of going to Canada or Australia or anywhere else. All I got to... Donde está la cerveza? The bodega de cerveza. What? Huh? My Spanish is horrible. But you know what? Texas Betsy could probably help get me through. Where is the beer store? Yeah. By the way, David in Tennessee, noting those things we call jack rocks here. The army guys of the Middle Ages called those caltrops. They had their smiths making them by the thousands, sized so as to split a horse's hoof. They were all too damned effective. Okay. And David is, I've joked a lot with David that we need to put together a sports show that runs on the weekends on the Horn. Yeah, the pay for players out of the coach's pocket idea actually came from the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier, over to South Carolina. But you know what? I bet a lot of coaches would sign on to it. Why not? Because what happened, I mean, and I know people it happened to. They probably won't tell you. But I know people it happened to. Got the ride, went to college, played ball, ruined a knee. See ya! Oh, we like you, son, but we only got so many scholarships to give away, and you ain't never going to play again. What then? What then? Then that whole get an education thing is becomes a real ordeal. But enough of that. Let's go back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, hush up and eat your peas.
There you go. What's up, Fancy?
Fruits and vegetables. Doc.
This is full-on socialism.
Got some fun. Well, okay, I was lucky enough to go to the Sexy Liberal show when it was in Tucson a few years ago. And it really is.
No, that had to be fun.
Show. And I'm kind of like a fan of John Fugelsang along with the other two principals, but I've never seen him do, you know, a real serious stand-up. He's good. And his wife was with him. It was a good show. But Hal made one statement, which it was still pretty fresh then about Wiener's the Wiener deal there. And he was saying, look, Wiener didn't do, you know, his what he did that was wrong was the cover up, not the act itself. And then he kind of looks out and he says, and he lied to Rachel. You don't lie to Rachel. I've been running that line in my head about you lied to Rachel. You don't lie to Rachel. No. But it was a wonderful show. And Hal does I just want to share something when we're talking about scholarship, etc. Hal does a thing on his Saturday show, which is called A Happy Ending. And he always ends his show with a happy ending and some good news. And a couple of weeks ago, he talked about free courses online, and two of which I just think are too good to be true. And one is called Khan Academy, and that's K-H-A-N, Khan Academy. And they have, it's all free, and it's like, you know, it goes from basic introduction to arithmetic up through, you know, advanced calculus. And these are free. That's the magic word. It's free. And the other one is MIT has free courses online.
Yeah, I've seen those. Those are really cool.
So, you know, and I'm a big TED fan. I think TED Talks are just...
Oh, did you see that? I watched one the other day with a guy talking about the presence of algorithms in our lives.
No, but I'll look at... There's so many.
Oh, that's a mind bender.
It really is like going to the automat. There are just too many good choices. But I will look for the algorithms in our life.
Well, yeah, look up algorithms.
That is cool. Now, I'm going to wander around a little bit here. One, I have become a big fan of Lawrence O'Brien. And, you know, you can pick him up on MSNBC website a day late every day.
Oh, Lawrence O'Donnell.
Donald, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I wrote down O'Brien here. Lawrence O'Donnell. And one of the things about Lawrence O'Donnell is it's really his inside baseball, because he's been there. He's been in Washington as a employee. He's watched political games. He really explains dynamics in a way that often amazes me, and I haven't found him at any point yet where I could say, whoops, he was totally wrong on that one. And he gives me optimism because he sees it all as kind of an interesting bit of game here. And
I've gotten the sense watching him lately, Fancy, that even he, because that whole breakdown that he did about the difference between politicking and governing, did you see that one?
I probably did, but it's not ringing a bell.
Well, when he explains, these Tea Party clowns have yet to figure out the meaning of the word governing.
No, it's all politics at that point.
Well, no, yeah, they don't want to govern. They want to continue to stump speech and talk about the country clubs. They don't understand that there's a point that comes where you sit down and you do the hard business. And I think this is a takeaway quote from that monologue, the hard business of governing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is all waving the flag, my team. Hooray. I have a
bloody shirt. This is all bloody shirt.
I had a bubble bath yesterday that I haven't researched in the slightest, but I think we should all vote on it now. One of the things that O'Brien pointed out, and it's a movie I'm highly recommending because I watched it recently, and it's called The Company Men. And apparently that didn't get a whole lot of play, but it's an awesome film, and it was done by some of the people who had worked on The West Wing, which I still think is just one of the most brilliant things television ever brought to us. And The Company Men, and it has to do with people at the top and the layoff procedure and what happens to a number of different people and their responses to being called in. And, you know, the Matt Damon character walks in and he says, you know what, I golfed this morning. Nobody's interested in this. And they say, sit down, Joe, or whatever it was. We have a redundancy here. We're giving you 12 weeks. It's what these people have experienced. It's a good movie. I really recommend that. And it's called The Company Men. And so I have now recommended free classes on web with Khan Academy. And now we're going to get wandering here. But after looking at different things, and I have always looked at the Republicans during the George W. Bush administration as Lucy with the football in the fall. Now go ahead and kick it. I'll hold it up for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been my image. And I'm finally discovering where something I might consider, and I think you might consider, with President Obama. And that is a very tactful game of please, please, whatever you do, don't throw me in the briar patch.
Yeah, we've gone to that. Yeah, Brer Rabbit.
I think we've had a big don't whatever. Don't throw me in the briar patch. I think all of this. Okay, I'll give you what you want. You can have this. You can have this. You can have that. Knowing that as soon as he said it, they're saying, well, if you want it, then we don't. I also think this is a way, and I'm really kind of wandering around here, and please don't look at me as a defender or apologist for the current Israeli government, but I think there's also a game of that the Israelis can never say, hey, I really like this peace plan, because as soon as they did, the Palestinian forces would say, well, then we can't get behind it. I think they're going to have to appear to be forced into a peace plan. And I happen to be a two-government proponent for that situation, although it's not...
Yeah, the two-state solution.
The two-state solution certainly is where I am. I follow something called J Street, if you're interested in that.
Oh, I like that website.
Yeah, J Street sends us some pretty interesting thoughts on that. But I'm realizing that whatever the official response is, it has to be some form of don't throw me in that briar patch. And I think there are some really interesting dynamics working. Like everybody else, I'm a you know, I turn around and I say, look what George W. Bush did. Can anybody ruin this country more? And, yeah, they can. It's an amazing thing. I think I've just ran. I have just run out of notes on this thing. No! I do. I have an apology. Apology for using the Nordic nose reference the other day.
Well, there's no apology. I just didn't know I had one.
You know what? I played with Celtic and I couldn't find a rhyme and I couldn't find. And so I just threw in Nordic nose. For you listeners, I've been with Bob on a sunny day. And it's not a pretty sight. The burning factor.
It burns badly. It burns.
Oh.
Yeah.
Poor dear. And so
yeah, there are still photographs of me with my Captain Christopher Pike face on.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, he's not exaggerating when he says, you know, the refrigerator light.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Dad, is that, did they put Parmesan on your salad? No, that's where my face is falling off, son. Yeah.
It's a little pinky thing. And poor Ferg, too.
He's... Oh, yeah. Oh, but poorest of all was poor Doodle. And she did it all in one day.
Yeah.
Bless her heart, John Sinton's lovely, lovely wife, Laura, came over during dinner.
Adorable or what?
And just ministered to Doodle and took care of her burn during dinner.
Oh, she's great.
No, it was
really
just
sweet people.
Oh, it was just charming, just sweet as could be.
Man, so I'm going to go on now.
Of course, you know, I don't know. I don't think the sun's going to be that strong on the next libboat cruise.
Well, then I'm trying to wangle it. I may get myself sent up there, but we're going up to Canada when we do, so it'll be a whole different.
Yeah, I think it's leaving from Boston and you know, going to the Arctic Circle or Montreal or something.
Also, Hal is talking about an alternate non-cruise because Stephanie can't get on. Stephanie's a barfer, okay? She can't go on the ship.
Oh, put the little patch behind your ear and quit being a baby.
And so there may be an on-land equivalent of the lib cruise, the lib boat. But we have a lot to look forward to, and I'm cautiously optimistic that the people who do know what they're doing, and this I was thinking the other day, you know, of course, you know, I'm a Texan, and I'm a yellow Democrat, which is good for a yellow dog. If
yeah, you'd vote for an old yellow dog if it had a D after its name.
You betcha we will. And I was talking with another place Texan the other day, and you know, talking about I won't vote. And I'm saying, honey, we don't have a choice. If you don't vote Democrat, you are in some level voting Republican, and this means that we're going to reap the harvest of the whoever appoints the next Supreme Court, and whether it's a holding your nose or whether it's I'd rather not or whether it's I have other preferences, we have to, and we have to vote and we have to work, because otherwise we are going to be doing awful lot of unpleasantness behind the next Supreme
Court. Oh, there's all kinds of sackcloth and ashes that comes with that scenario, you know.
It's yeah, and we do. So keep that in mind with because you know, hell, I'm disappointed, you know. And if you want to go to Germany, I've got folks over there who are doing what all expats do, which is teach English.
Oh well, yeah,
not bad.
Well, you know, I could use some English lessons.
My son is teaching English and doing voiceovers.
Nice.
And yeah, I got some. In fact, I'll send you one we got recently. It's not too bad.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
But yeah, and I'll send you some of the science fiction things he read for. If you're a science fiction fan, folks, check out Starship Sofa.
Dot.
Which is short stories.
StarshipSofa.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's an international, but it's done in English. I think the guy who the webmaster's Irish, and a little hard to understand on occasion, but still, you get some very good readings there.
And, well, cool. I'll go have a look myself.
Yeah, I'll send you the one Dave did, which he ended up doing part of it. It was an Australian accent, which I was just surprised at. A kid grew up here in Tucson. And I don't know where he found all those vowels, but he...
Well, you know, but see, you grow up in America now, and you're bombarded with Outback Steakhouse ads, and after a while you feel like you're competent to talk like an Aussie.
Well, I was pretty impressed. I'll send you that URL for his. It's and, hey, folks, thanks. Enjoyed it, and hugs to everybody in the chat.
Take care, Fancy. Good to hear from you, dear.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Fancy, who has appellated my schnoz as the Nordic nose. Okay. Onward we go. You know, we got to get better at... Okay. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Tracy, what's up?
Not much. Just listening to everybody and just, I guess the general consensus is, are we fucked or what?
And there's not a lot of difference between that and or what.
I guess now
that Eric Leave Brittany Alone Cantor is saying the vote will be later tonight or something like that.
This is some twisted craziness. It's just, oh, I think I listen. The best thing that I heard today was that John McCain went on the Hannity show yesterday.
Yeah, and called him the Tea Party Hobbits?
Yeah, and basically, you know, he's like, no, Pat, Sean, this is not going to work. We need to and he's going, but no, we have to raise the debt ceiling. Well, everybody's going to get paid. No. But people are not going to get paid. Well, Social Security people, no. Every time Hannity tried to say something, McCain was like, but no, you're wrong. You're wrong. And I haven't seen the interview. I just heard it. And I'm going to watch it because I found it on the interweb computer thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to seeing Hannity's face every time John McCain said, no, you're wrong. This is basically, and McCain has been going off on the teabaggers too, going, dude, seriously? You guys are, I know he didn't actually say you're crazy, but he said you're crazy. If you think that running this country into the ground is a good idea, if you think that the debt ceiling is just a myth and that, you know, well, they figured that this debt ceiling is right along a myth like global warming is.
Right. Because it's hobbits. By the way, you're getting some fan mail in. Artist just wrote into my Facebook page saying, I'm appreciating Tracy. Please tell her.
Oh.
So, yeah, and by the way, the ongoing story of the travails of Boner. I mean, I love the things, you know, Representative Paul Brown, he's not going to vote for that bill because people have to quit the country club.
Right.
Right, okay. So, well, we got a new one here.
Oh.
We got Representative Andy Harris
and where is
from Maryland.
Maryland?
Yeah, he's a pig licking. He's a teabagger. And he says he's not going to vote for the Boner bill because it provides money for Pell Grants for poor people to go to college.
What? Me with that?
No, really.
So on one hand, we're concerned with the rich people not being able to buy their yachts and
above. Yeah, the provision provides $17 billion in funding for Pell Grants.
And how dare poor people want to do something with their lives instead
right.
of having to live in...
Right, so Representative, Representative Andy Harris said, I really don't understand why we're increasing spending in a bill supposed to be cutting spending.
Okay. So, you know,
now I don't know. I don't know how he, you know, I think we need to get him and Paul Brown together and see if maybe we turn that $17 billion in funding into $17 billion in funding to keep people in the country club.
Right.
Then he could probably vote for the Boner bill.
Can we get $17 billion in funding to make sure that I get my SSDI check on Saturday?
No.
Me and a whole bunch of other folks. Can I get $17 billion in funding to make sure that, you know, if somebody decides that they want to go to school, they can? I was, I don't know if you heard about this thing that was going on Monday called Save Pell. And it was this whole campaign about tweeting about why we still need to, you know, because, you know, nobody talks about the Pell Grant until this idiot because, you know, it's about education and keeping and helping people to get a. Now, what about the? Okay, now I just remember something about boots. You know, pulling up with your bootstraps. How the hell am I supposed to pull myself up by my bootstraps if I don't have an education?
Well, but what you need to be what you need to be educated in is bootmaking.
But nobody makes anything anymore.
No, that's true.
And when they do make it, it's in China.
Right, that's why you need to move to China.
Well, actually, you were talking about Mexico. No, about Costa Rica.
They
have socialized medicine down there.
True, and a lot more English-speaking. I just have this warm soft spot for Mexico, and I had an email from our pal Cindy up in the Great Northwest. Says there's a civil war going on in Mexico. Yeah, that's going on around the borders. That wasn't where I was looking at.
No.
I was thinking, you know, a little place not too far from maybe Chichen Itza or somewhere that I can go and get an inspired.
What, Nehu?
Near what?
The what? The Nehu? Or the what? What was that spot in the Shawshank Redemption?
Oh yeah. I know that, right. Yeah, somewhere I can go and get a little bit of inspiration once in a while. But
exactly.
But no, Costa Rica would be nice.
Costa Rica would be nice. I
hear they make a mean ceviche.
Yeah, my brother's been to Costa Rica and he's been to Panama, so he said he liked Costa Rica much better than Panama.
Well, I just wonder. I'm wondering, as we get closer and closer to really, you know, the Repiglicans really screwing the pooch. I'm wondering how the dollar's standing up against any of it.
That's the scary part. You know, how is the dollar doing up against the peso? If the peso is doing better than the dollar, then we're just done. We are absolutely, positively done. I just, you know, like I've been thinking whenever I hear, like when, you know, because I listen to, most of the time in my cab, I listen to, you know, talk shows and call-in shows and stuff. And it's, you know, of course, all these, you know, right-wing nut jobs are calling in saying that, you know, we're overreacting and it's basically the liberals' fault. And it gets to the point where, you know, a lot of times I just chuckle, but then it gets to the point where they make my head hurt. And I find myself turning off the radio for a few minutes and then turning it back on in hopes that whoever, those idiots that were talking have gone by.
Have gone away, yeah.
But a lot of times they keep them on just to bait them and make them sound even more idiotic. But then it gets old after a while. And I know, you know, we're supposed, you know, unlike Fox and, you know, all the other, you know, and Fox and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and the other people, you know, if a right-winger calls into a liberal talk show, they don't get yelled at. They don't get called stupid. They don't get hung up on unless they just, you know, they pretty much get heard out. And there again, that whole liberal thing, you know, fair and balanced, which is true. We are fair and balanced. But when does the fair and balanced thing
go away? When do we get our side of it?
When do we get our side of it?
No, we don't get it.
Okay.
No, it wouldn't be right-wing radio if we were like, okay, you want a classic example of this? I'll give you a classic example of this because this is so funny. I heard this today at lunch talking to Boss Man Wayne and Dr. Bill. And I about shot blue cheese dressing out my nose.
You can't be wasting blue cheese dressing like that, Bob.
No. So I've mentioned from time to time this absolute moron who did mornings at the radio station that I was doing it years ago. And they've kept him on. They've doggedly kept him on the air. And he has assembled this cadre of absolute... unmitigated, I mean, know-nothings, drop-dead stupid, would drown in a rainstorm just looking up with their mouths hanging open, okay? I mean,
like turkeys?
Huh?
Like turkeys?
Yeah, exactly. Because they are. So it turns out that the radio station made a deal where they're going to carry Mountaineer football now, my beloved Mountaineers. It wasn't on in that market. I'm glad to have it.
Okay, happy day.
But in order to carry the Mountaineer basketball and the Mountaineer football, they've got to carry a statewide right-wing talk show, and emphasis on the word right-wing, Tracy.
But why? Is it a money thing or something?
Well, yeah, you got to carry the talk show. You got to carry the drivel if you want the good stuff.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, that's how this guy manages to keep making a living. His name's Hoppy Kercheval, and he's dumber than a damn post. Well, no, he's not dumb. He's an intelligent guy, but he is just a pathetic right-winger. So that's going to. So it turns out this guy's on from 9 to noon, this idiot, and Hoppy is on from 10 to noon, so this guy is losing 2 hours of his program. And one of the dumbest, I mean, dumbest, dumb with a capital D, callers calls in, you know what, Steve? I think this is a liberal cabal that's got a conspiracy to get your voice of truth and freedom off the air. Now, bear in mind, this idiot is being replaced by a significantly more intelligent right-winger. They're both right-wingers. It's liberals. It's the liberals.
Okay, so I love the rationale behind that. You're replacing a right-wing show with another right-wing show, and it's the liberals' fault.
But meanwhile, Dr. Bill O'Brien and I were the liberals on that station, and we were run off by a right-wing cabal.
And you didn't go...
But that was okay. But that was okay. Because you can do anything to a liberal.
Yes, you can. You could talk, you could call it, you could, you know, you can say horrible things about them. You can, you know, fire them because Andrew Breitbart has something to say about it. And nothing, I just want, for once, whenever a Democrat, liberal, progressive, somebody that's either on our side or purports to be on our side, for once, when they get in trouble, when they're attacked by, you know, these crazy right-winger teabagging MFs, for once, can the Democrats have their back? Because let's face it, the last few people who have gotten thrown under the bus have not done anything, they did not do anything wrong. You know, they were frame jobs. So, I mean, except Wiener. But again, you know, he did not do anything illegal. And you have, now who's the one that was screwing the prostitutes in a diaper?
Oh, David Vitter, yes.
David Vitter.
Diaper Dave.
And then we have my old boy who blackmailed his
Yeah, John Ensign.
John Ensign.
And his bag man, Tom Corbin.
And Tom Corbin, the one that, the doctor, right?
Yeah, yes.
He's a gynecologist.
Yeah, sharing his love of women, yes.
Why are men still gynecologists?
See, I don't know.
You know, because I'm sorry. I mean, and it just tickled me when I thought about it because I haven't seen, my OBGYN was a man, and I was, you know, young. I was only 21 when I had him, so it didn't even dawn on me to think about having a female doctor, because I'm at that age where there were still a lot more male doctors, you know, than female doctors. I never saw a female doctor after I had my son, you know, and it just dawned on me. I'm like, why are men still OBGYN? That's creepy. I have a vajayjay and I don't want to look at it all day. So, I'm sorry, that bad?
I'm just glad I didn't. You know, I'll let folks that have them talk about them. I mean,
right. So, I mean, unless, like I said,
but then again, but you got to understand where men are coming from, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Because we have doctors who deal with ours. And I got to tell you,
Would you rather have a man or a woman look at your, you know?
Well, but the thing is, it's not look at, because it's kind of there, and it just sort of
there.
And no offense, and I'm not trying to be homophobic because this isn't, but there's a real sense of ooh to having a doctor with his little rubber gloves on, going, "Well, how is the little feller today?" and sort of bouncing him in the hand, you know? No,
how they hanging? It's like
No, I mean, my first experience with any of that, you know, onset of puberty and everything, playing high school football. And during your two-a-days in August, this one local physician who was, you know, associated with the program, he was the official team doctor, you'd have to walk into the coach's office one at a time, and, "Son, drop your gym shorts and cough." and then hands go down there. You know, you got. Like, I mean, that's a moment of real vulnerability, Tracy.
And that's why they tell you to turn your head, right? Don't they?
Yeah. And so, you know, standing there, and this is the 70s, the late 70s, so the gym shorts, I mean, they were kind of like NBA clothes from the 19, you know, guess your religion shorts, these real short and real snug. And you're standing there down around your knees, you get, son, drop your shorts and look the other way and cough. And all of a sudden, these rubber gloves, and no, this is even before, this is before AIDS, and there ain't no rubber gloves.
No rubber gloves or anything like that.
And this man's hand just down there.
Oh.
You're going, cough? I think I'm going to puke. Yeah.
I think I'm going to pass out. Okay, I see your point.
I'm pigment and everything being what it is. Now, I'm white as it. I mean, when I blush, and everybody
right.
knows it.
And everybody knows.
But we, you know, we had this guy played tailback. He was about 6 foot a million, big, strong black man.
Okay.
And I mean, you know, 17 years old, and he is a big, strong black man. I mean, he hit me so hard one day on the practice field that I think my great grandfather felt it. And that. Big, strong, young black man walked out of there, and everybody looked around, son of a gun, you blushing.
Yeah. It's one of those things that people think.
I mean, that's how obvious. I mean, it came right through the pigment and everything.
It comes through the pigment. It's like my former fiance, whatever. God, oh, anyway. He's white. Well, he's still white, unless he's dyed, but whatever. But anyway.
Unless he's dyed, I guess you're not swapping Christmas cards?
No. Another story. But anyway,
okay.
I was taking off my bathing suit, and I had a tan. And he's like, you tan? And I'm like, stupid, I got skin, don't I? You know, black people tan.
No,
we do tan. You know, and we do blush.
Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, it's not often that you could, but when I blush, you can tell.
And
that I'm blushing.
And so going, you know, going back to the original question, would I rather have a guy? I don't want nobody down there that I haven't invited.
Well, trust me, it's like, you know, it's one of those things. I don't know. I guess men don't have the same equivalent as what women have to do as pap smear.
Well, no. Yes, we do. Because I was going to continue the little narrative here, Tracy.
Uh-oh.
Because you have that horrifying thing when you're, you know, say, playing your first year of high school ball.
But wait, there's more.
And, you know, let's say you get all the way up and you play college ball, which I did not. And then that's over with. And nobody's telling you to drop your drawers and cough anymore for a while. Then you turn 40.
Uh-oh. Oh.
And the minute you turn 40... You know, you're going, and let's see, any unexplained coughs? No. Dryness of the eye? No. Unprotected? No. And you're going, and you've been going through this for years. It's the standard physical check. All right, now take your pants off and turn around and bend over. What?
What? Cough thing? But you have to do it every year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, it's not quite up there, I mean, because... You know, my lovely wife and I have exchanged notes. How horrified were you by the pap smear today, dear? Pretty horrifying.
Pretty horrifying.
How was the prostate exam, baby? Well, you know.
Well, okay.
But you know what? I'm ashamed of myself because I'm not doing any good for the cause here.
Nor am I.
You got to get it done.
You got to get it
and
done.
And you're going to get over it.
Like I have ever, have you heard me say it? You'll get over it once the swelling goes down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no swelling, people.
No,
there's no swelling.
You got to do it. You got to get over it because otherwise,
you got to get over it. And it's like ripping off the Band-Aid. Or in our president's saying, way of saying, eating the peas. And back to Mr. Obama. And you know, when I told you I went to meet with. You know, to my representative's office, Howard Berman, and all these white folks was all up in arms because, you know, he's supposed to be the black FDR. And I'm like, see, this is why I love your show and other shows, you know, except for Randy and Rachel. They are huge apologists. It's not like their shows, but you give the other side.
But they're in a place where they have to do it.
Right, because their corporate, you know, their you know, the thing they have to do.
Well, down here, you know, down here where I am, nobody's writing me a million dollar check to the horn. And consequently, we, you, I, all of us can say what's on our mind. Because, you know, there's something that comes with that. And it's not just the check, Tracy, it's the access. You know,
right.
if you want Senator Thumbfingers on, you can't be saying crappy things about Senator Thumbfingers.
No.
For instance, after my little rant last night, I think I can safely assume that I will never have Senator Al Franken as a guest on my program.
Now, did you get the tweet that I sent you?
Yes.
when I saw that, you know, I couldn't help but do it. And basically, for the chat room and everybody else, there was an article. Was it the cancer article?
Yeah.
Or something. I basically tweeted Al Franken a copy of an article about mountaintop removal and the horrible cancers it's causing, and I basically did the CC of tweets and sent it to Bob, and basically I wrote, please, Senator Franken, I know you get a lot of emails and stuff like that, but please read this article and really think about going to West Virginia for your speech or your appearance or whatever. And I probably won't get any response either, but it felt good to do it.
You know, if we could get a bunch of people with Minnesota zip codes to do that.
You know, I'm from California, A, so... You know, it's probably like, whatever, you know. But like you said, if you could get a bunch of people from Minnesota to do it, it might make some impact. But it's just, you know, if you look at President Obama, I mean, before he became President Obama and Senator Obama's voting record, you shouldn't be surprised about what he's doing.
No, not at all. You know, and I'm just—I went to my Twitter feed when we started talking here, and I was just looking at that, and I got a tweet from Jeff in Illinois, who is sort of shining a little light on. Have you seen this rising star of Teabag Nation? Have you heard of this guy, Representative Joe Walsh? And I'm not talking about the cool musician who said life's been good so far.
Yeah, I saw that. There was something about him earlier on Think Progress, Joe Walsh. And somebody else who said point blank, I'm not voting yes for Boehner's plan.
Yeah, but it's not just that. It's that this is a guy who is talking about austerity and we've got to tighten our belts and we can't be spending.
Oh, and he owes $100,000
in child support.
You bastard.
So, right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you self-made son of a bitch.
But that just, you know, stands to reason. If you don't care about his own kids.
Yeah, but remember, this guy ran on all of his family values.
He was a family value person.
Oh, well, he's a teabagger. They all got family values.
That's all they care about is family values and, you know, and taking care of the unborn babies and stuff like that. And screw you. So basically, we'll take care of the babies while you're in the womb, but screw you when you get born. Or birthed.
Right, because they are, they're pro-fetus.
They're
not pro-life.
But not pro-children. Pro, you know, what am I going to do now that
that same clown that called in and said he thought there was a liberal cabal taking that idiot off the air. I embarrassed him early on years ago because he was out there making a monkey of himself, you know, without really trying.
Without trying.
Yeah, and he was talking about how we got, you know, he was all behind. We got pro-life bill, and we got to take care of the unborn. And he called me up because I had said he was as corrupt as the day is long, which he is. And he called up and tried to take me to task for it. And I just sort of shuffled him over to the pro-life side of the aisle, and I said, are you responsible for all of the unborn children, Senator Weeks? Well, I am. I said, does your wife know? But I got him to admit, I said, but you only care about until they're born. After that, they're on their own. Well, of course.
This is where it troubles me. You're all concerned about them being born and stuff like that. Because right up there, okay, here's another one of those. You know, I lost my mind for a minute about religion, but I came to my senses. And you know how Marcus Bachman has, you know, and has the No More Homo clinics, right?
Right.
What is also throughout the United States, besides the, you know, pray yourself, you know, from homosexuality and stuff like that, there's one, you know, for sex addiction. And I'm not to say that those things don't work. But anyway, one of the things that they have people do, women, not people, but women, is if you've ever had an abortion, they want you to come up to the church and make out a cross for the unborn baby. And pray and ask and come up in front of the church and ask for forgiveness for the abortion.
See, anybody that would stand up in public and do that needs to be taken out and whooped for a while.
It's like, you know, first of all, who are you? You are not one to forgive me of my sin. Okay?
And you are not one to declare what is and is not.
Not a sin. You are not to, who are you to judge me? You cannot judge me for what I've done. Like one of the cab drivers that I know is like, I don't care what you call me, if you call me a good person or a horrible person. The only person that I care about that has anything to say about me and my actions is when I meet my maker on Judgment Day. And then whatever I've done, he's going to handle it, not you.
Right.
You know,
one of the reasons I quit going to church, I guess, is, well, a long time ago, is because I'm a cantankerous soul, and I'm not prone to sit there in a chair and listen to somebody who's got less than half the IQ I've got tell me what I got to be doing.
Right. Well, like I said.
Because, my urge is, excuse me, point of order, you're wrong.
Right. And see, that's, you know, this is one of the reasons why I have a hard time going to church, because I'm the same way. But you got to, you know, I like how we have these discussions. You know what kind of church I would like? If I go to church and if I have a question during the sermon.
Raise your hand.
I could say something.
I got a question.
You know, or I could disagree. You know, I would rather have a weekly discussion.
Yeah, but you know the problem? You know the problem with the kind of churches that you and I grew up, have gone to and grown up in? If you're sitting, you can do that. You can sit in the congregation there and raise your hand. They're never going to recognize you because they think you're just praising.
Right, praise Jesus.
Especially if you start waving it back and forth.
And don't forget, you have to have the handkerchief when you do it.
Oh, see, now I was a Southern Baptist. We didn't do handkerchiefs.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Yeah. We do the handkerchiefs.
But you know those churches and the ones where you kind of sit there swaying back and forth a little bit. Yes, mm-hmm. Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Jesus. Yes.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes.
And you know me, I'm sitting there, no, oh no, no, not again. And so it's better just for me not to go. Now, if we had a little Unitarian fellowship around here, I would go as far as Oak Hill, West Virginia, about 15 miles away. I would go that far to go to a Unitarian fellowship.
We have, and I was considering, because I got a tweet a while ago from a Unitarian minister, and because I had gone off on somebody about, you know, how they basically, an article about this idiot that said that, you know, liberals hate Jesus.
I remember that. Who was the boob who said that?
I forget. But it's like, you know, basically that liberalism was the, you know.
Yeah, because later on, and I will not apologize for that.
Mm-hmm. And
oh, no, no, wait a minute. Wasn't that your buddy?
Which one? No, it was which? Oh, you mean Alan West?
Wasn't that Alan West?
No, because this guy, I saw his picture.
Oh, white man?
Yeah, it was a white guy. So I knew it wasn't Alan West. No, it wasn't my. I mean, Alan West might have said it at some point. You know, let me see. Liberals hate Jesus. Let me see if I can find that.
But while you're looking, speaking of preachers.
Uh huh.
I give them a hell of a lot of grief. But I got to give them credit where credit is due.
And what preacher do you have to give credit to?
Well, did you hear about the arrests today?
Mm-mm. Which one? Sweetie, I live in L.A.
Oh, well, okay. Sorry. Been a lot of arrests in L.A. today.
Okay.
some members of the clergy about a dozen of them, got together today in the rotunda of the U.S. Who was it?
Todd Akin.
Oh, yeah, that sick freak.
Yeah.
About a dozen members of the clergy got together in the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol today, Tracy.
Uh-oh.
And they got down on their knees, and they began praying in public, calling for an equitable resolution of the debt ceiling debate, and calling for members of the Congress not to impose severe and brutal spending cuts on programs and services that support the poorest and most vulnerable people living in the U.S. and around the world. That's a quote.
Well, did you hear?
Here's the fun part.
Oh, but wait, there's...
Capitol Police came along and said, y'all got to stop praying now. And they said, no, Jesus says we got to keep praying.
Ooh.
And they kept praying.
Wow.
And at that point, they were arrested and dragged out of the Capitol. Now, if that happened and it was a right-wing fundamentalist religion industry type, like, say, that weird freak Rick Warren that was having a hissy the other day.
Yeah, I heard he was going off. What
yeah, and the, and the, well, if that was, you know, Rick Warren or Creflo Dollar or Joyce Myers or Kenneth Copeland, there would be blast faxes. The air around the internet would be crackling.
Yes, it would be.
From it just burning. They're persecuting us for our faith in Jesus.
Jesus, yes.
These guys just get arrested and hauled off.
Oh,
were they not exercising their First Amendment rights of freedom of association and religion in a public space? Were they not doing that? I mean, if it's a sit-down thing where you just sit down and say, I shall not be moved, pick them up and carry them away, because that's an act of civil disobedience. But that was protected speech.
Exactly. But it's the double standard right wing hypocrisy. You know, they can say and do it, they can call us horrible names, they can lie, they can have affairs, they can, you know, do just anything and everything that's against the law. I mean, last time I checked, sleeping with a prostitute is against the law, yes? Last time I checked, blackmailing somebody and forcing them to having an affair? Illegal. Oh, and what about my boy in Wisconsin that put the other justice in a headlock or choke?
Oh, yeah, Prosser?
Prosser. So you're telling me that as long as you are a white... See, I hate it when I try to do W's and R's together. It's a terrible thing. I'm telling you that list. But as long as you're a right-wing Republican, ooh, I get it, you can break the law. You can do whatever the hell you want to do.
Right, because of that old moniker that's got dust on it around here now, that we keep it dusted off because we keep using it so much. I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican.
Oh.
But apparently you've got, bless your heart, Cindy, up in the great Northwest, I imagine, if we all stuck our heads outside, you know, kind of like romper room, you know, and I see you and you. About a few minutes ago, a great big what echoed forth from the great Northwest. Cindy just wrote in and said, confess your abortion in church?
Yeah.
And she said, the bastards are building a list of women to burn at the stake when they take over. For real.
Well, there was Jackie Spreyer. I think she, because I was doing, you know, because I'm trying to think about, I'm thinking about, you know, starting to write again, essays about what's going on, and I was trying to get information on how mountaintop removal would affect California. And so when I typed that in, I guess this congresswoman from, I think, San Mateo, Jackie Spreyer or something like that, I think she might have been the California person.
I think it was.
Spoke out against you know, wait a minute, you're basically calling, saying that the reason why these people are having, you know, problems with birth defects and whatnot and so forth is because they're inbred. It has nothing to do
with... Yeah, that was. I recognize her name, and she was incensed.
Well, she actually got up on and said that she had an abortion. And, you know, to me, I mean, that is a private issue, a private matter. But the thing is, like she said, you're being set up to be burned at the stake.
Yeah. Hey, just I don't want you to give up anything. Give me an L.A. zip code.
90035, which is not my zip code.
Well, let's just see if there's a connection. Oh, dear. We got lots of connections. Let's just go to Los Angeles City of. Ah, there it is. You are connected to Mountaintop Removal. Your electricity provider, Los Angeles City of, buys coal from companies engaged in mountaintop removal.
And what is that website that you are looking at?
ILoveMountains.org.
Okay. Okay.
But wait, let's select another utility. City of Burbank Water and Power.
Right.
You are connected to mountaintop removal.
Get out of here. What about Southern California Edison?
Southern California Edison, got it right here. You are connected to mountaintop removal.
PG&E?
Let's see, they're not on this list.
Gas and electric, no?
No, I guess they're not in that zip code.
PG&E, that's because Jackie Spryer, she's San Mateo, and I believe San Mateo's up north.
Okay, City of Glendale, you're connected to mountaintop removal. City of Azusa, you're connected to mountaintop removal. City of Pasadena. Come on, let's go there.
Wow.
Oh, City of Pasadena might be clean.
Well, you know what, Pasadena, consider even with the little old lady from Pasadena, it's a pretty, I don't know, I would say progressive, because Pasadena, there's a lot of old money in Pasadena. But there's a new breed of people moving into Pasadena. I would say somewhat liberal or moderates or stuff like that. And I would not be surprised that they don't take, you know, anything from, you know, Eddie Cole or anything like that.
Oh, and Texas Betsy just wrote in, Tracy. And she offered, you know, she's the Horn's official Jewish mother.
Right.
And she says the Jewish tradition on forgiveness, because this, again, was occasioned by your mentioning the story of, you know, come up here and beg forgiveness for your filthy abortion, right?
Right.
She says, on Yom Kippur, which is the Jewish Day of Atonement, you know,
right,
a very, very serious holy day, she said, all the allowed confessions that we say are said as a group. And all of them start with the word we. We say the ones that don't apply to us, along with the ones that probably do, so that the person to whom it does apply is not embarrassed by being the only one confessing to that particular iniquity.
Wow.
And she, just saying, signed Betsy.
Just saying. Just saying. Well, see, that's the thing. It's like... You know, like I've gone through so many incarnations of who I want to be spiritually and, you know, mentally and all that sort of stuff. And by the way, you know, I keep telling people I have a disability, and I know everybody's scratching their head. What kind of disability does she possibly have? Now, just think about how crazy I am. You know it has to be mental.
Oh, come on.
No, seriously, my disability, I suffer from severe depression. That's why I can only work for so long or do things, because I get to that point. Before I was diagnosed, I literally laid on a couch for 5 years and didn't move. I don't even know how I survived. I mean, just could not function. And so I still have, trust me, I still have those moments, and this debt ceiling thing is not helping.
Yeah, but you know what? You've got something now here, Tracy, and I don't want to overstate the value of the horn. But there are a lot of us who have various problems in our world.
Oh yeah.
And we talk through a bunch of them here. You know, this ain't the Frasier show.
But
if we keep talking, we're going to realize that we are part of community. that we are and that we are not alone, and that we can keep moving.
Well, see, what this is one of the things why, you know, even I always say, I think, did I ever say how when I was in school, and like I said, my major is African American history, and, you know, I would hear, you know, study some this horrific thing white people would do, you know, did to slaves or just black, any black person, just because they could. And I would come home, and the first thing out of my son's mouth would be, "Is this a hate white people day?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Okay, I'll leave you alone." But what I like, you know, one of the main things that I like about white people, actually love about white people, is that when you guys are crazy, I love it because you discuss all your drugs and stuff. Because it's like, you know, well, have you tried Prozac? Well, have you tried this? Have you tried that? And that's the difference between white people and black people, especially black people who are Christian. Because, see, obviously you don't have enough faith because you should be able to pray.
Oh! Yeah, but you know what? There's a long history of that. It's
I think it's Christianity, period. But
No. Because there one of the classic examples of that is, you know, Woody Allen made a career out of playing the neurotic Nebbish.
Right.
And there's a scene in his movie and play, Play It Again, Sam. And it's about a guy who's fixated on Bogart.
Right.
And he's falling in love with Diane Keaton.
What's not to love about Diane Keaton?
Right. And well, maybe I've got it completely backwards. But it's at one point there's this scene where they're talking with each other, and they're talking about the psychoactive drugs that they're on to, you know, keep them, you know, just keep them at a, you know, keep them at a baseline.
Right.
And she and I think it works out like this. Diane Keaton says, "Oh, sometimes I just have to have a Librium with some orange juice." And Woody Allen, eager to agree because he's got the hots for, says, "Librium with orange juice? I'd love that."
Right. And it's the same thing. It's like, you know, but, like, see, the sad and scary thing about in the African-American community is that thing called denial. Like, okay.
Not just a river in Egypt.
Not just a river in Egypt. Denial is prevalent because you have, you know, these people that, you know, if you pray hard enough, sweetheart, you, and I'm not discounting the power of prayer, because trust me, I have prayed myself out of some hairy situations, trust me, and prayer has got me through, but sometimes you need a little pharmaceutical help to kind of boost yourself too, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but my gripe is the ads on TV, Tracy, you know, where, you know, the one that drove me the craziest.
Cymbalta?
No, it was the one. It was the one where they had the little cartoon of the sad egg, and he got the magic pill, and suddenly he was a happy egg.
Right. Well, here, how about the one now that if you're still having issues with depression, obviously your antidepressive is not helping. So here, take this other one to boost the antidepressant. And that one, I've taken that one. And let me tell you, when I first was diagnosed and all the stuff that I was taking, I couldn't function. I was doing worse on medication than I was before I got the medication.
Yeah, because some of this stuff serves as a chemical restraint.
Right, and that's basically what it is.
You know, for a long time, especially when Agnes was producing back here, we had a running gag. You know, she'd look and say, "Oh, Bob, just shoot me right here in the neck. Just shoot me in the neck with the Thorazine dart, and it'll all be better."
And it'll all be better. It'll all go away.
Yeah.
Well, they were trying to, at one point, my doctor was trying to put me on lithium. I'm like, okay, so wait a second. You want to put me on something that you have to constantly take blood tests to monitor my liver function to make sure that I don't, I don't have liver failure? And you think this is a good idea? I'm like, I told my doctor, I'm depressed, not stupid.
Yeah. Or, you know, it's not that I want to be happy all the time. I just want to not be miserable some of the time.
Right. You know, I just want to be level. I want to be able to keep myself from just freaking the hell out or completely shutting down. You know, it's one of those things where
And
yeah, I mean, it's not like you're Eeyore and you're just sitting around, thanks for noticing me.
Exactly.
No.
It's like, it's so funny.
But the thing is, so much of this, and I mean, I'm not, there is so much of our culture, Tracy, that is suffering from the culture.
From the culture, yes.
Because, you know, it's living, especially if you're trying to, you know, if you're not part of that set that's out there worried about making, I mean, I guess according to Paul Brown, there are people out there sweating next month's country club dues. And, you know,
right.
If you fall out of the country club, nobody's going to speak to you.
No,
you're
going to be shunned.
Like right,
the,
but no,
the Amish, you're going to be shunned.
But the people who are out there working one job, two jobs,
three jobs, four.
Yeah, who George W. Bush said were uniquely American. I guess so. but people and then well, there was a poet a long time ago. I studied him in college, and he had this poem, and it stayed with me, you know, for lo these many years. And there was this poem about, and he says in the poem, it's not the big things that knock you down. It's the little stuff,
mm-hmm.
The constant parade of tiny things. When the money you were planning on spending on food winds up being money you spend because the transmission just fell out.
The transmission just fell out.
You know,
the
when
or the light bill, you know, that normal $30 a month light bill. In the winter or what have you, turns into $300 because you've been running your air conditioning all day because it's 115 degrees outside, and there's no such thing as global warming.
No, and that will cripple anybody.
Anybody, especially the middle class that are now quickly becoming the new working class or the new no work class. Or the new,
yeah, all those participants in the new normal.
You know, and what is normal?
And that inquiry into what is the new normal is the stuff that will chew on your soul.
Your very being.
Where you can't, you know, it does. It challenges your ability to function.
And like I said, for me, you know, and I, you know, at the moment I am not taking meds because, you know, I kept going through, you know, it would work for a while and then it would stop working. And I figure, you know, I need to just muddle through, but I need to get myself back on track. But it's so funny because I was thinking, I have to go back on meds because I got to start blogging and having the energy to do so and getting my website up and all that, and that's a depressed. Well, it's worse for me. I'm a manic depressive. I'm bipolar. So, so one minute I'm taking on everything, doing everything. I'm just superwoman. I can do no wrong, and all that.
Yeah, you've got a switch that's either 11 or -2.
Exactly.
And everything in between just doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. And I'm pretty sure the people in the chat, what is she now? Is she the 11 or -2? Sweetie, I don't know. I'm just functioning. But I just want to get, you know, everybody wants to be at a place where they can function, at a place where they can have friends, because that's one of the problems with me. I get friends because I am a friendly person.
Obviously.
I'm a pretty nice person, too, but then I get into that horrible depression, and I cut myself off from everybody. And I have a feeling now that I've said that, I will be getting emails.
No,
and,
see, you
and
won't let, no,
like
nobody,
that.
Will, nobody will let you.
And that's what I'm saying. I have opened myself up to the community.
No, you don't get to wander off into the forest and just
I
be,
don't get to
no.
wander off and you know and
because we do. We worry. We worry.
I do a self-imposed exile because trust me, I am the queen of self-imposed.
I get emails. I mean, we had a good friend of the program, Brian from New Hampshire. Haven't heard from him for months, and I'm getting emails saying, "Have you heard from Brian? Is Brian okay?"
Wow.
You know, didn't hear from Juanita for a little bit. Start getting emails. Have you heard from Juanita? Is Juanita okay?
We
because
have to take
this
care
is,
of each other.
Yeah, this really is community. And it's a reinvention of community. It's a kind of reinvention of community that, frankly, humanity has never, ever seen before.
And it scares them, don't it?
Oh, it's scare. It's no. It scares the thugs who want to keep us broken up
and alone and
desperate. It scares them, runny bowed.
Because if we, as a community, you know, keep each other propped up, and like, okay, no matter what's happening, don't fall apart. It's going to be, and see, that's what they're counting on. They're counting on us falling apart. They're counting on us, and I hate to say it, killing ourselves off because it's such a, so horribly depressive. You know, like I told you about my customer the other day, this woman was in tears. She has basically worked 50 years of her life. She has paid into this system for 50 years of her freaking life, and you're telling her that come next month, which was today's date, the 28th, so you're telling her basically in 5 days, duck and cover?
Right.
And grin and bear it?
Yeah, here's your Laurel and Hardy handshake.
You know?
And we're not, the thing is, if we aren't, the fact that we are inclined to freak out about something like that is not a medicatable event. It means that you are fully functioning as a human.
And the kind of medication that you can medicate yourself out of, that you'd have to be admitted into a psych ward and be on constant suicide watch. Because there ain't a damn drug strong enough over the counter or prescribed, and you're still functioning every day that you could take.
Yeah, and see, I said we've created community. Immediately, I get this email from Texas Betsy, not community, Bob, and great big bold letters in the Gmail, family.
Family. Rocket.
Because remember what Gertrude Stein said. She said friends are the family you make for yourself.
True. You can.
You don't have any choice in what you're born into.
No.
But those that you bring around you who will share good times and bad, that's family, too. That is family, too. Tracy, it's been a lovely conversation. I appreciate it. Always.
And I'm happy, because remember, I know nothing about sports, but I'm happy that you're getting your football back.
I need it. I need it.
And on that note, too,
Because
if it hadn't been for the players' union.
Oh, shoot.
And when people talk about unions don't work, you idiots, what do you think the actors have that could close shit down when you have no movies, no TV, or no nothing? And then when you have football and you have the players' union. Unions do work. They don't play.
And see, that's the other side of that coin, Tracy, because whether it's a writer's strike in TV or Hollywood, well, I guess TV is Hollywood, or a player's strike, things like that. You know, oh, sure, what the hell, let the airline pilots strike. We'll break that union later. Oh, so
they
what if the mechanics...
They ain't talking about breaking
But you know what?
Players.
The powers that be, I mean, the NFL owners, you know, that sorry-ass Jerry Jones and a lot of them, they realized something. They have a very lucrative gig on their hands. But if they take that gig away from the people for whom it serves as a diversion from the hell on earth that life often is, those people will come looking for them with pitchforks and torches.
Yes, and tar and feathers.
Yeah, and you know, don't with my TV either.
Mm-mm.
Don't screw with my TV. Don't take my NFL away from me. I want the basketball players on the floor. I want the hockey players on the ice. And I want the writers behind, you know, even if their lives are straight out of Barton Fink, I want my writers behind their keyboards pounding out me another episode, because otherwise we're coming for you.
Exactly. So on that note, I'm glad you're ready for football, because like I said, close. When it comes to sports, you know.
Oh, once college football season comes, who knows? You may wind up a fan.
Well, you know what? But see, I have to say, I don't follow football, but I could watch. I could actually watch a football game or a basketball game and know exactly what's going on. I know the plays. I know the rules. I know what's happening. I'm not one of those women. I
just doesn't speak to you.
And not make you nuts by asking what's going on. I know what's going on. I just don't know all the particulars, like stats and players, and except for when that year that the New Orleans Saints won the Super Bowl, and it was because of Tracy Porter.
And everybody's like, hey, you know, the next day, because I didn't watch the Super Bowl, hey, Tracy, I didn't know you played football, because, of course, my name is Tracy Porter. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Where's my check?
I didn't know you, you know, ha-ha, yuck. So there. So on that note, Bob, as usual.
And thank you for kicking in and helping out tonight, Tracy. I appreciate it.
That little $10, but hey, like you said, every little bit helps, you know.
They pile up.
They pile up, so as I always say, God bless you and God keep you and keep on pushing, all right?
All right, we'll be back Friday on the front porch tomorrow night. You take care.
All right, my dear. Bye.
Bye now. Tracy calling from Southern California. And I guess that brings us to the end of the program tonight. We are looking for something around $79, $10 contributions. You know, that works out to less than 5 cents an hour per program. That's pretty cheap. Nickel, that's a lot. Gets a lot, I guess. PayPal buttons at headonradionetwork.com. Thank you, everybody, for all of your ideas. I've got a couple of emails here from Andy, our good buddy out in Redwood City, and I'm going to share those. I'm going to try to share those at the front end of tomorrow's program, because by then we may know what has happened here. You know, as Boner falls apart, an explanation of national debt, Greece, why it ain't Greece, that kind of thing. But we need some time to put some skull sweat around it. So we'll try to get after that early in the program tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday on the front porch. Thank you, everybody, who keeps all of this going. So sincerely, thank you. Thanks to Lottie in the chat room, our moderator there. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thanks to Reverbo, Cavalcade of Crazy, headonradionetwork.com. New installment coming soon. Reverbo, I think he's been communing with the pelicans at the beach or some such. Nice. Thanks to John Fox. It's John Fox's doing that we are back. It's your doing, and John Fox's doing that we are. We've got the normal, regular, fun chat room back. Thank you, John, for taking care of that. Thanks to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Going all the way back to 2002, literally saving liberal broadcasting on the internet with all he did and has done with WhiteRoseSociety.org. He never sends a bill. If you can't find $10, if you can send it to Ben, that's fine too. That's fine too, because he never sends a bill and doesn't charge for downloads from anybody's archives. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine what that model would be like on the right wing? What? We're not getting rich! Yeah. Thanks, of course, always to the hardest working, bravest people I know, Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Learn about the Coal River Wind Project there. You can learn about the ongoing advocacy of Coal River Mountain Watch there. And you can become a member of Coal River Mountain Watch there. And membership has its privileges. And membership is cheap. But you will know that by becoming a member that you have become an active participant in the effort to stop the horrors that stalk and plague Appalachian people. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.
Rick Smith is next, only here on the Horn.
Not a bad boy.